This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
When you look at the human body and how beautiful it is, it was really captured in your book.
I had to fight for those pictures.
Did you really?
Yes, I did.
Oh, they are absolutely beautiful. So again, if you have an opportunity, check out the book. It's called Body Brilliance. It's by Alan Davidson, local guy.
Explore World of Entertainment April 19th, 20th, April 27th, and 28th at the Houston International Festival. Spotlighting out of Africa in downtown Houston. Make the Out of Africa Zone your first stop. Visit the Mountain Carved Church of Lalibela, one of the 8 wonders of the world. Also, check out the North American debut of the National Dance Theater of Ethiopia on the WAMU stage. And of course, don't miss the world stage featuring top artists like Buddy Guy, the Neville Brothers, Habib Koete, the Wailers, and Taj Mahal. Visit ifest.org online for more information. Brought to you by KPFT 90.1 FM Houston.
This is KPFT Houston.
Of God's grace, I caught a glimpse of myself departing, and the sight is now burned in my mind. From the front, I may not be Adonis, but I'm blessed with a fabu behind. Under all this elastic, my ass looks fantastic. Why hadn't I noticed before? While my belly's already, my butt is porn ready. Although modesty mandates soft core. At the gym, one can make so much progress. And it's hard to assess day to day. And the truth is, like potters or sculptors, it all depends on the grade of the clay. To carry the metaphor further, I've got Play-Doh for arms and for gut, but I sit on the highest grade of marble, and what's more, it appears it's recut. I focus my flexes on quads and on pecs with little attention to glutes. Who knew my midsection was home to perfection? I'm blessed with a couple of beauts. Under all this acrylic, my ass is idyllic. Why hadn't I noticed before? If I just read their faces, those envious traces, when my tush follows me out the door. Someone says, wow, what an ass. I humbly say, thank you.
something.
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music dear to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Hello, Houston, Galveston, and the world. Wave all you want. We can't hear you. God. You had to bring her along. Well, I can't say you bring her along. She showed up before you did. This is last time I didn't look here, I screwed it up. April 26th edition of After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. Listener sponsored, commercial free, yada yada, blah blah blah. My name is Chris Harrison. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the other one. Hello.
Hello.
How was your week, dear?
Weird.
Oh.
Yeah. Apparently, I've got a stalker.
Imagine that.
We all need one of those in our lives, don't we?
Yeah, but this is one of the first times a stalker scared me. So.
Oh.
Yeah. Little strange. A little different.
Okay.
But for that and, you know, car repair work.
Car repair?
Yeah.
How much?
No, I didn't do it. That's the beauty of living next door to an auto repair place. You know, I took a day off from work to clean and get the car work done, and I got the car work done.
Okay.
And your week?
And my week was uneventful. Stanley's out of town, so
usually that's your better weeks.
No. I mean, he's really out of town.
Oh, he's still over the pond?
Yes, he's in London.
Oh, so it must be the other hubby's birthday.
I wouldn't even know. No, they planned this a year ago.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know, just kind of rolled along and here I am.
So now you're working on contacting ICE to find some way to keep him from coming back into the country.
Stop.
Trust me, I've thought of that. You know?
No. Well, we've got a loose show this evening so far.
Considering the cast of characters we have.
I mean, normally I say, oh, we've got a really tight packed show. Well, it's loose this week. The bisexuals are taking a hiatus this month because they're helping Gigi work on the land this weekend.
Ah.
And
a different kind of plowing.
The transsexuals are not here.
yet, but tonight was the Unity Banquet.
Oh, that's right.
So
they may not be.
I have not heard from Mel or Mel about coming in late or not coming in at all. So, but I know the Transgender Unity Banquet is a very, very big deal, so I can understand if they miss
tonight. Yeah, I forgot that was...
Yeah. Yeah. Just the timing. But, let's see, we've had some new music that we opened up the show with by DC Anderson. And he's put out a couple of albums, and this is... I really liked the first song on this one. It was called My Ass Looks Fantastic.
The interesting thing is he says ass with a bunch of asterisks in here.
Yes, yes. He's
which is even funnier when you actually know the little star thing is asterisk.
Yeah. This is cute.
Kiss my asterisk.
Yes, yes.
Well, I hope I can say that.
Yeah.
I'd hate to have to take another vacation.
Speaking of new music...
we've got more coming up.
We do have more coming up, and Monday will be the fourth Monday of the month, which means J.D. Doyle's Queer Music Heritage will be heard on the second half of Queer Voices. So that would mean that 9 o'clock Monday night, tune in for Queer Music Heritage. If you aren't already listening to Queer Voices, which had come on at 8. Anyway.
Hold on a second. The Peanut Gallery wanted to talk.
Yes?
What?
How long is J.D. on?
An hour.
I'm on at 9:15.
Oh.
That's bizarre.
Yes.
Because J.D. was on last week, though, with a special performer guest that was in Houston visiting.
Oh.
I'm done.
Okay.
I was just confused.
That
she said she's done. That means I don't have to turn her mic on again, right?
No.
Not until Jimmy gets in here.
Hmm. Okay, because I don't know what's up with that. Anyway, he's doing his April Queer Show featuring fun and fascinating interview with singer-songwriter Christian Hoffman, who will talk about his career and involvement with the late 70s pop punk band The Mumps and one of our favorites, the operatic space alien Klaus Nomi. So and I'm really excited about this because he's doing five Klaus Nomi songs that I've never heard. So I think that's pretty damn good. So that's going on, and of course every Wednesday night over at Tony's Corner Pocket you can go and see the Tony's Corner Divas, which is some of the best drag you're going to see in Houston. Very professional by a group of five, four which will be there each week. Four of them kind of revolve with Lillian Devereaux being there every week. So that's Wednesdays at 9 p.m. over at Tony's Corner Pocket. And yes, they have it at 9 p.m. and they start 9 p.m. sharp because they realize it's a school night and people have to get home. So
that's school night.
That's what they call it.
Ah.
Somebody
needs to be schooled.
I figured as much.
That only happened in the patio earth.
I figured as much. So coming up, let's see, the Sundance Cattle Company will be holding its final Steak and Shrimp Night, benefiting the PWA Holiday Charities LVL PWA Campout this Sunday, April the 27th, from 3 to 7 at George. $10 will get you a plate of steak, shrimp, potatoes, and salad. At the conclusion of this final cook-off, we will present PWA Campout with a check for 80% of the total proceeds from all of this month's steak and shrimp nights we have had. And that's coming from Mike Radston, the webmaster of the Sundance Cattle Company. Now, for those of you who are going to listen to this show and just get a few hours sleep and get up early Sunday morning, a Lasting Legacy retail outlet warehouse sale. That is, you know, the last thing we like to see is the fabulous, fabulous resale shop here on Westheimer, about the 1500 block. And every once in a while they have this big warehouse sale, and this is happening 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday, April the 27th at 1006 Taft Street at West Dallas. That's probably, that's not far from Tony's Corner Pocket, actually. 1006 Taft Street at West Dallas.
Third crack house from the left.
Oh, okay. Let's see, coming up.
Hey, I'm just pointing out the neighborhood.
Okay. ICOH, things going on. Of course, every Wednesday is their week, midweek madness show over at EJ's. It starts about 9. And,
I think we're getting an ish that needs to be added to that, right?
At least.
Yeah.
Yeah, ish is right.
More ish than.
Yeah. Sorry about that. However, tonight, Sunday night, the ICOH is doing a benefit show for the Bayou City Women's Chorus. That's a direct benefit, so they get all the money. And that's going to be held at the Brazos River Bottom, BRB, 2400 Brazos, at 7 p.m., hosted by Her Most Imperial Majesty, Rose, Gemini Empress Rose, that is. And let's see, what else do I have here? Next Friday, no, is it next Friday already?
Next week is next month.
My goodness, next Friday. The Monarchs Circle and Founders Society reception from 6 to 9 p.m., 1820 Southmore Boulevard. It's the only information I have. That's it.
Something and about there will be circling around?
I guess. And there is going to be an ICOH show that next Saturday night, hosted by Gary and Chris.
Yes.
To be announced. Yes. Now, over
some
with...
Some people are having evil thoughts when you're talking about circling.
I
so.
See. Our friends over at Reese's.
I don't know who would be having his evil thoughts.
Yes. oh, God, let me get the paperwork together here.
Reese's, the Empire of the World Sovereign Imperial Court of the Single Star, Inc., Houston.
Very, very good.
I think it was just a brief, you know, 12 years ago that he was handing me stuff with just Reese's asking me, well, what does that stand for?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, 12 years ago, he was having me saying what Reese's stands for.
Yes, Reese's is right. Sunday, April the 27th at 7 p.m. at EJ's. The Empire of the Royal Sovereign and Imperial Court of the Single Star, Inc. presents.
Dash Houston.
They don't have that here.
Oh, they always say it, though.
Production, Volume 1, hosted by Imperial Princess Royale, Marcia Mink Ann Gill, and Crystal Rayleigh Love. EJ's at 7 p.m. tonight. Then, Hoedown, presented by Imperial Prince 24 Falcon, is happening May 4th at 8 p.m. at the BRB at 2400. They have 2500. It's 2400 Brazos.
Do I hear 26?
No. then... actually, it's hosted by Imperial Princess 24, Lillian Devereaux, also. No, wait a minute. There are two of them on this one. Okay. This is on Saturday, May the 3rd, 7 p.m. at Tony's Corner Pocket. Imperial Princess 24, Lillian Devereaux, is presenting Berry Berry Happy Birthday. Aww. I don't know if it's her birthday and she's a bear, or it's the bear's birthday and she's... I don't know.
I was trying to figure out, is there an A in that berry or no berry?
There is an A.
Okay.
Yes. Yes.
So it's growl, growl, not...
Yeah, growl, growl, not...
not a dessert or a smoothie.
Not fruit, yeah. Well, the berries can be fruits.
There'll be enough fruits around.
I'm sure. Then, Mr. Tony's Corner Pocket, 2008, Cubby Christopher Prado, on Sunday, May the 4th, at Tony's Corner Pocket, naturally, 817 West Dallas, is having its fiesta time, celebrating Cinco de Mayo. And that's benefiting the ICOH Rain 6 Charities and PWA Holiday Charities. And it's open to all performers. Cool. Like that. And you've got some stuff over there.
Houston Area Bears Car Wash on May 3rd over at Tony's Corner Pocket, 817 West Dallas, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at $10 for cars, $20 for trucks and SUVs. All proceeds will benefit Hatch. I put periods in there, but I don't think that periods anymore.
What?
You'd be interested to see how they're going to chamois the cars dry.
Oh.
They are bears.
Yes, they
are. Hey, and speaking of bears.
Yes.
If you ladies leave my island, if you survive Bear Watch 9 booty camp training, you will be a bear. But until that day, you are Brazilian mountain goats. Because I am hard on you all the time, you will not like me. But you will like it when I am hard and in you. The more you can take it, the more you will enjoy it. However hard I might be, I am fair. I use a good water spit for lube.
Sir, yes, sir.
You there, what are you grinning about, Private? You look like some kind of joke with that raspberry lip gloss on.
Sir, yes, sir. As funny and queer as they come, sir.
Holy dog crap. Are you from Texas? Only steers and queers come from Texas, Private Joker. And you don't look much like a steer to me, so that kind of narrows it down. Do you know how to do a proper Texas pinning?
Sir, yes, sir.
Get over and show these other worthless goats how it's done. Private, go on the file. Tell the rest of these worthless, untrained goats how they can join our merry little booty camp in Galveston, Texas.
Sir, yes, sir. Golly, come join our platoon May 16th to 18th in Galveston, Texas for Bear Watch 9 Booty Camp. You can find more information at our online recruiting station, www.bearwatch.net. You can register and get all your questions answered there. Our host hotel again this year is Inn at the Water Park, sir.
We want new recruits. Get online and get registered now at www.bearwatch.net. I want to see each of you in my platoon for basic bear training May 16th through 18th in Galveston, Texas. Private Joker,
wow, in stereo, I like that.
Yes, that's another thing from the Bears.
There when you have headphones on, you know, it just goes, that plane just goes right on by.
Right on through?
Mm-hmm. And who would have ever thought that Daddy Lloyd Powell would be Gomer Pyle?
No, okay.
I'm not going to go there.
No.
Okay. That's cool.
Maybe his twisted cousin.
Yes. Abby Norman.
I couldn't remember her name. It's so hard to keep up with those cousins.
Yes. Anyway, I take it that the Bears take over the entire hotel and just have a good time. And you're shaking your head and you're creaking.
Yeah, that's why I was shaking my head, because it was creaking.
Is it you, or is that the headphones?
I ain't that old yet, honey.
Well.
It's these headphones with this, you know, garden hose that's coming out of them for the sound.
Yes, I know.
It's like, God.
It's really industrial strength.
Switch this way. There we go.
Mm.
Other stuff coming up. So these Gay Lesbian Switchboard of Houston is accepting applications for the next training session in May, because the training encompasses three consecutive weekends. We're only able to hold the trainings a couple of times a year. The training will be May 3rd and 4th, May 10th. That's Mother's Day.
Yes.
What sort of gay man is going to be around on Mother's Day doing something else besides mother?
I'm going to be camping in the woods.
Yeah, I know, but your mother's...
gone.
I wasn't going to say that. She's far away in a different place.
In a different plane. Yes.
And May 17th through the 18th. Volunteers must go through the entire training. For more information, you can call the, you can go to gayswitchboardhouston.org, mm-hmm. or you can call the switchboard at
713-529-3211.
Theater New West is taking great pride in presenting Eve Ensler's Vagina Monologues
Woo-hoo.
Over at the Montrose Counseling Center, 401 Brainerd Street, first floor, May 9th through the 31st. In a unique twist in celebration of the 10th anniversary, the production will be performed by members of Houston's transgendered community.
Woohoo!
Tickets are $20, may be reserved by calling 713-522-2204. The Vagina Monologues is a poignant and hilarious tour of the last frontier, the ultimate forbidden zone.
Mm-hmm.
A zone where some of us don't want to go.
Yes.
It's a celebration of female sexuality and all of its complexity and mystery. Hailed as the Bible of a new generation for women, it's performed in cities all across the world and at hundreds of college campuses and has inspired a dynamic grassroots movement, V-Day, to stop violence against women. It's also the same type, same performance that got Jane Fonda in trouble on the Today Show.
Yes, it did.
She dropped a C-bomb.
Oh, well. That's the way it happens. Oh, my, my, my.
Look which one showed up for the T-Show.
I can't believe it.
Jimmy, turn around.
I know. Oh, my God. She's in drag. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
Hi.
Hi, drag.
My gangster suit.
Yeah.
Well, we're not ready.
We've
got
to move things around because we didn't know and blah, blah, blah. So you're going to be running a little late there. So we will have, we do have a transgender segment.
Hooray.
And they can run as late as they want because we don't have a bi segment. So that works out, doesn't it? Let's see. Some of this other stuff is for much later on, so we don't need to talk about it.
Why don't you get in there with your wife?
Tonight, except for the PWA camp out.
No.
Which is happening Mother's Day.
She's not Jimmy's fag hag, because the first rule of a fag hag is to get them laid.
Yeah. Ooh.
Ew.
Just wanted to get the word out again about the spring PWA camp out coming up May 9th through 11th at the Texas Conference of Clubs Buzzards Peak land site outside Cameron, Texas. This invite is open to any and all. We have PAWS, non-PAWS, and PAWS friendly. Campers that come and enjoy the relaxing weekend in the country. The land site offers indoor, hot and cold running water showers, a separate restroom with flush toilets, a semi-restaurant quality full-service kitchen.
Oh, the kitchen.
Okay.
Just the kitchen.
I love that. Somewhat restaurant quality.
Semi-restaurant quality.
Thank God Marvin Zimmler's not around.
And a pole barn area for the Saturday night show of shows. Also a walk-in cooler. And the Saturday night show of shows that always has top name performers, at least in their own minds. There is plenty of open space for tent camping and a bunkhouse first-come basis. Medical needs take priority. We have a limited number of tents, sleeping bags, and air mattresses to loan out if you don't have them. A donation of $25 is asked to cover costs of the weekend, but no one is turned away if the donation would cause a hardship. All meals and drinks are provided. Friday night meet and greet with snacks, Saturday breakfast, lunch, and dinner, plus a Sunday morning clean out the walk-in cooler brunch before the farewell ceremony. Snacks are always available should you need something before taking your meds. There's non-alcoholic beverages available at all times. The camp out is BYOB, but we ask that campers please drink responsibly. All of the application forms are available at the TCC website, and that would be dubcubed.texasconferenceofclubs.com.
And yeah, you'd hate for someone to get drunk there and go running around the woods all naked in that.
Well,
oh,
exactly.
Wait a minute, that happens sober.
You can fill out the three forms online, print them out, and mail the application to John. Now, write this down. John SZEWCZYK.
Pat, I'd like to buy a vowel.
Yes. And
Sheshwe.
That is pronounced
Sheshwe.
Sheshwe. Okay.
Something like that. Chef Shui?
Chef Wick.
I hang around with him enough, you know.
I know. Chef Chick.
Chef Chick, something like that.
Something like that.
Chef Chick.
You would think a Czech and a Polak would get that name right.
I know. Isn't that incredible? The confidentiality and medical forms need to be filled out, printed, and brought with you to turn in at registration. Yes. I will be there.
That kind of blows the confidentiality of who's supposed to be there. But hey, you know.
Well, I can say I'm going to be there. I can't name other people who are going to be there that I know are going to be there. But it's okay that I talk about me being there.
Jimmy's outing himself as a camper.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah. One of the few things he can still out himself
at. That was the hardest closet to come out of all, because nobody believed it.
I still don't.
Well, you know, also, you know, if when you're in a pup tent, there's not a big closet to come out of.
Oh.
Actually, no, him. He drags the armoire out there, so he says he's coming out of the, you know, some sort of a closet.
I think it's time to go to Judy.
Yeah, let's go in with your wife.
Okay. First of all,
I'll go with why. Fag Hag's going to get him in so much trouble.
Will this work over here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, how about Fruit Fly?
Oh. Oh.
We don't like that one?
He is so dead.
He is so dead.
Yeah.
Even with my boot and gloves, I can beat him if need be. I can take him with one hand.
Ooh.
And he won't enjoy it. Trust me.
Yeah, the other hand's attached to a female.
Hey, you just turned me way up. Thank you very much, dear.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hello.
I'm so sorry.
He's about to kill me here. What are you, three?
Oh, okay. That works. I'm sorry.
Does that work?
Don't you hate when those hearing aids kick in?
I know.
Oh, wow.
Laugh it up.
Hi, honey.
Let's talk about your suburbia first.
Well, okay. I guess
because
we will. Because you went to see it.
Yes, you and I just went to see The Baby Dance by Jane Anderson. And I was in San Diego when Theater Suburbia was here.
Yes, but we had a lot of fun.
Yes, and I was listening online.
And you were listening. I'm so sorry what we said about you, but that's okay.
People talk more about me when I'm away than when I'm here.
That's because when you're here, we don't get a chance to get a word in edgewise.
Oh, ouch.
It is your show, so I can't complain.
Anyway, directed by Suzanne King, assistant director William Shepherd. That was...
Wasn't that amazing?
Incredible.
It was amazing. Yeah.
And I'm still, the ending came and I was sitting there going, what?
Surprise.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a pretty amazing show. And there's some pretty hefty line loads in there, too. There's
yes,
only five
there are.
People who carry this show.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got it cold. I mean, that it is so wonderful.
People in the gay community will probably recognize the name David Barron. Because he has done like 85 benefits, you know, performances for AIDS.
Well, he's a live singer.
Years,
yeah, he's a live singer, so he sings for a lot of shows that
and
have live singers.
And I've seen him on stage before, but not in a heavy drama like
no,
this.
No, he's had some.
And he played not a good guy. I mean,
no, he really wasn't.
He was not a nice guy.
Yeah, he was Louisiana trailer trash.
Yeah,
with an attitude.
Yeah, yeah. And I just can't. David is such a sweetheart. I just can't. He must have really had to practice that part to do that.
Well, and he was playing against Kate Nelson, too, who hasn't been on stage in 4 years because she's been away at college, and she was weaned on Theater Suburbia,
yes,
literally.
She was.
I remember Katie when she was at theater. 14, 15 years old. And so this is her first role, and it's, again, another meaty role. She's playing against David.
Yeah.
And she had to practice that accent really hard.
Oh.
It wasn't hard for her to look sweet and innocent, but that accent just isn't normal for Katie.
No, no.
So Howard Block is also in it, and he's done several things. He's been in several plays over at Suburbia and other theaters. He works a lot with Jay Menchaca, who's also in the play.
He was so totally convincing as the husband.
Howard,
and
Howard
does
a lot of professional voiceovers and stuff for commercials and cartoons and things. He's very much into real theater and television.
Yeah,
and
Jay was appropriately slimy.
Yeah, he just kind of made your skin crawl, didn't
he?
He really did. He did it very well, and I love that the glasses coming on and off and on and off. It's like, okay, guy.
He had all this, the little business stuff he was doing really well. It was, I like that.
And Stacey Spitz was Howard's wife.
Mm-hmm.
And I've not seen her at Theater Suburbia before, although I think she was on the stage once before, I think during my surgery or something. So I missed her. But she's really very powerful,
she's
too.
She's very good, yes.
So it is just a stellar cast.
It is.
Suzanne did a spectacular job. William did as well. And that's going to be playing through May the 10th on Friday and Saturday nights, mm-hmm. at 8:30. Their curtain is box office and lobby open at 7:30.
Folks, and you have got to see this play.
This is really good.
And you have that after hour special.
That's right. Two for one.
Call them and mention that you heard it on After Hours, and you get two tickets for the price of one.
That's right. You call 713-682-3525 for reservations.
Mm-hmm.
And they also have Sunday matinees on April 27th, tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
That would be Sunday
to you. That would be Sunday.
Okay. And May 4th on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And those matinees are at 3 p.m.
Yeah.
So it really is worth going to see this play.
Yes.
Well, it's always worth it to go to Theater Suburbia, but this play is just...
It is.
Really
it is.
Spectacular. You walk out of there with your mouth hanging open thinking, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And by the time you get out to the parking lot, it only hits you that... It was such an excellent play.
Mm-hmm.
It was so well done. So, can I do a shameless PSA here?
Absolutely.
Okay. After 45 years, this 501c3 theater, community theater, who's been in this location on West 43rd all these years, doing all volunteer and a lot of fundraising and stuff, a
mm-hmm.
lot of benefit performances.
Absolutely.
I know of 10 that they've done because I directed them.
Mm-hmm.
And I know other people have done them for organizations in our community as well.
In our community.
Starting with Pride and Pride Week and working its way down to GCAM and other Cult 45s. They've done a lot of fundraisers or benefit performances. And they're losing their home.
Yep.
After 45 years. It's kind of traumatic, but, you know, fear not, they are not going away.
No, they're not.
But they could really use, you know, some support here and some, you know, full houses. You know, tickets for these things are only $12 and $10 on Sunday.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a big bang for your buck.
That is.
And
that's cheap for live theater.
Yeah. So we're really excited about the place they're looking at. Keep your fingers crossed for them. But they are not going away. I know you're going to hear rumors because these things do spread wildfire. But Theater Suburbia is alive and well, and I've already got my play planned for January, so I know that they're going to be around for that.
See?
So anybody we're looking for? Packing boxes, you know, newspapers, whatever you've got that will help them get packed up. Moving a theater is, what'd you say, 100 boxes for your one-bedroom apartment?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Think of what the theater has.
Oh, I know, because I've been through the storage area where the costumes and the furniture and
costumes
my God.
Alone. Yeah, it's amazing.
It's incredible. Anyway, for more information, www.theatrasuburbia.com, and that's
right.
the British Theatre.
Theatre.
Yeah, T-R-E. Yeah. TheatreSuburbia.com.
Exactly. It's okay.
Check them out.
Sounds good to me.
So what's going on with you, honey?
What's going on with me, honey?
Yeah.
I've been so busy with GCAM fundraisers, I haven't known what to do.
Really?
Yes.
What's been going on there?
Well, two weeks ago.
I've been out of town.
I know. You missed both of these lovely fundraisers.
I know.
2 weeks ago, on April 6th, maybe that's 3 weeks now, I guess. Mm. I've slept since then. Anyway,
okay.
Craig Farrell and Orlin Culliver did a fundraiser for GCAM Game Day,
mm-hmm.
over at Decades. And that was a lot of fun. Craig loves to deal poker.
Oh.
Which, you know, Craig is usually out of pocket in the community on Fridays. He goes out to his mama's house.
Yeah.
Where she and all her friends and Craig sit around and play poker.
Yeah. I thought they played bridge.
Oh, no, honey. These are poker-playing mamas.
Oh.
Yes. So Craig loves to deal his poker.
I see.
And we had a lot of fun doing that. We had a lot of special people come out and participate.
Mm-hmm.
We did poker and pool and darts, and we had a lot of raffle drawings,
uh-huh.
and door prizes and that kind of stuff. We had
nice.
A 50-50 drawing, so it was a lot of fun. And in the week after that...
Did GCAM mm-hmm. make any money off of that?
Yeah, believe it or not. You know, those guys lost at cards. Well, no. did I say that? I said Craig loves to
The house
poker.
Always wins.
The house always wins. And especially when you're losing to somebody as cute as Craig. That doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
So, but yes, we did make some money off of that.
That's nice.
And the following weekend,
mm-hmm.
Rose and I, Empress Rose at ICOH,
yes.
and I did GCAM Please Remember... drag show. And actually, because of my fragile body parts here at this point, I actually sat it out and took pictures, and Tim Bratcher stepped in and co-hosted that with her. And thanks to you and to me and some research that we did, we had actually a trivia question going on.
Yes,
they were not amused. Yes, they were not amused at some of the questions. Oh, no, it's like, what do you mean? I wasn't even born. It's like, that's why they call it history, fool. But we had some really good questions and some really good participation.
They weren't that difficult.
You know who knows everything?
Who?
Mark Cohen.
No kidding. Who'd
have figured?
Yeah.
You know, he's so quiet and just stays in his own little corner. Hey, that man knows.
He knows.
So. But anyway, that was a lot of fun, too. So that's two fundraisers.
Good.
Now, we have one coming up.
Do we now?
That everybody needs to know about, because this is a new place for me.
Oh?
It's Mela's new place called the Peacock International.
Oh.
Have you been in?
No.
Well, you need
even
to go in. Okay. It's at Fairview and Crocker. It's on the corner. Fairview and Crocker Street.
Fairview and Crocker.
Put your thinking cap on, honey. I know you drive down Fairview.
That's on the other side of Fairview from the Ripcord.
The Ripcord, yes.
Yeah, it used to be. It used to be a lot of different things.
Well, now it's the Peacock International.
Wow, okay. It's an old house.
It's been.
It's off Fairview by one lot.
Okay, so you
on
know where
we're
going.
On the left-hand side, off of Fairview. Yeah.
Well, good, because you need to be there Saturday night, April May the 10th, at 8 p.m. And when I say 8 p.m., honey, that's when the music goes up. We turn on those mics and we're done. Oh, I knew it. He's missed every fundraiser this year. Anyway.
At least he's consistent about something.
That's very true. And it's always my stuff that he's consistent
that's
about missing. I know. You'll be at camp out. I know.
Camp out.
Well, you know, you do what you got to do.
Damn.
This is going to be put on by Mark
Valadez?
Yes, thank you. All I could think of was Barrera, and I knew it wasn't that. Mark Valadez, I know, and Tim Bratcher are going to be doing this. We will be there from 8 to 9:30, and I mean, we start at 8. We will be done by 9:30.
How come?
Because Mela likes her shows short and tight.
Oh.
I'm not even going to ask what else she likes that way.
Don't
she likes
go
her
there.
Shows that
Do
way.
Do not go there.
So, it's a lesbian thing.
Yeah. So we will be there at 8 o'clock on May the 10th, Saturday, sans Jimmy, at the Peacock International.
Oh, boy, I'm in so much trouble for
I'm
this.
I'm telling you are. Now, this is also open to all performers and entertainers who would like to join us. It's going to be called A Fiesta in May.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are interested in performing, then you can email Mark, which is very complicated. Get your pens out for this one, guys.
No.
Marcus, M-A-R-C-U-S, 85, Valadez, B-A-L, let's be like boy, B-A-L-A-D like dog, E-Z, at AOL.com.
Okay, well, that's not too difficult.
That's not too horrible. But it's easier to get hold of me, chair@gcam.org.
Oh, yeah.
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 Everybody knows GCAM. chair@gcam.org, or you can call me at 713-692-8735 after 10 a.m.
Oh, yes.
But they can call up to 3 or 4 a.m. if they want to.
What can
they just
now?
Have to call after 10 a.m.
Okay.
Because I am not nice if you call me earlier than that.
Oh, please.
You
well,
haven't.
I wouldn't know.
Yeah. When was the last time you called me at 10 a.m.?
No, hasn't happened.
I am the human alarm clock for you.
You are.
Yes, that doesn't work the other way around,
no.
though. So we're very excited about coming to the Peacock International. Actually, she's got a DJ she's bringing in for us for the evening.
No kidding.
And they have a nice, you know, setup for music there. Bring your CDs.
Mm-hmm.
And she's also, they have a small area that could be considered a stage area that she's kind of working on fixing up.
Yeah.
But she's also putting up a curtain in one side on one corner, you know, so that people will have a drifting room.
Oh, good.
So
that's
she's
nice.
Kind of interested.
That's
in,
nice.
She hasn't had any drag shows there yet. We're
oh, really?
Introducing her to
oh.
this.
Oh, okay.
And so I think when she sees how much fun they are and how much, you know, fun we bring into the bar, I think, you know, we'll be doing more shows there. So I'm very excited about breaking her in.
And how many drinks these people buy.
Oh, gosh, yes. We won't count that. Yes. Okay. So that's kind of all that GCAM has going for right this very minute.
Wow. That's a lot.
Is it too early to mention the Misfits?
No, it is not too early to mention the Misfits.
Well, I know the Misfits have chosen their beneficiaries for this year's show.
Yes.
And
for the Misfits
this
ball.
Football.
coming up.
I got Show on the Brain, honey. And that's in September, first part of September. And it's going to be Lazarus House and GCAM.
That's fabulous.
I'm so very excited about that. Got the note from...
That is so great.
Hello, yes.
Yeah, because I love both organizations.
Oh, I do too. Yes, I'm very happy, and we'll do everything we can to kind of help out
GCAM,
Scott.
GCAM, the Gulf Coast Archive and Museum of Gay, Lesbian, Bisexual, and Transgender History,
Inc.
And Lazarus House, which provides exercise and nutrition for people with wasting disease, whether it be from AIDS or cancer, or people who have been in car wrecks and have nerve problems, nerve damage. So I know it has saved my life.
I was going to say, you're sitting here because of them, and I couldn't say that, but you could. So
yes,
thank you very much.
Absolutely I am, because...
yeah, you're like their poster boy. You yell Lazarus House at the top of your lungs everywhere you go, and
I love that. Because I love the place.
Well, I look around at so many of my friends, and I wonder what condition they might be in if it weren't for a place like Lazarus House, itself.
Because I am a person who despises exercising.
I know, honey.
But...
Nobody knows like I do.
The atmosphere over there is so fantastic that I look forward to going.
Yeah, you can't say that about leg day. But you go.
Well, not
but
leg
you go.
Day particularly. But I
but
do
you go.
No, right. Because it's a great, fun...
It is fabulous. And everybody over there is fabulous.
An affirming atmosphere.
And I never met a client. I mean, I used to go to Lazarus House. Mm. I never met a client I didn't like. Even the clients are as great as the employees.
Yeah.
So... Danielle and Rochelle, we can say that.
Danielle and Rochelle.
We're not outing them.
That's right, no.
Yeah. So.
And Boyd and Relias.
And Boyd and Relias. I didn't know if they were employees or volunteers or what they were.
No, they're employees.
Oh, are they? Okay.
Yeah.
And Boyd and Relias.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, it's a wonderful place.
It is a wonderful place.
But so is GCAM.
Yes, it
we
is.
We have two entirely different agendas, and I'll be very excited. I know that Misfits Ball has, you know, auctions or raffles and that kind of stuff. And we'll be looking for some stuff to try to help them out. And so I'm real excited about that. And I'm sure we'll be hearing more. I know y'all will be hearing more about it as time goes by.
Yes.
So, okay.
And
don't
we'll
forget
be talking about it.
That's right. And don't forget our fundraiser on May 10th at the Peacock International at the corner of Fairview and Crocker at 8 p.m.
Good.
Yay.
Good. Okay. We're out of here.
We're out of here.
Because
we got people waiting in the wings that are dressed much more fancy and formal than I am. They're beautiful.
Well, this was the transgender unity ball tonight.
I know, and I just...
And so we didn't really expect to have a transgender segment.
Well, honey, they look like they've been having a good time.
Uh-huh.
Oof.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I had... My allowance was what they're wearing tonight.
I know.
Okay, well, I hope y'all have fun. I'll be listening in the car.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
A little music to transition.
Thank you.
Little Freddie Freeman.
Oh, good.
You liked number one on there, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
He likes everything.
He likes number one.
He always likes number one.
Call in and guess what hanky color that is. Oh. On that note.
Okay.
Drums. Silence.
shelter I can no longer hide. I have learned to dissolve this frustration so that I can stay alive. I learned to break the silence, scream out with my heart and my soul. I want to live, oh, I want to fly. I want to scream out my love and desire. I gotta break silence. Hiding deep within the dark, how can I breathe? Choking on the words that set me free, living in fear. Only knowing fear, only knowing pain. When I get up, stand up, throw open the door. Gotta break the silence, scream out with my heart and my soul. I wanna live, oh, I wanna fly. I wanna scream out my love and desire.
Isn't that a great song?
New music by Freddie Friedman.
My God, I just fell in love with that CD.
And have you told him that we're going to be playing him?
No, I haven't.
Right. I'm going to find it'll be a cute way I'll let him know about it.
Okay.
Because I'm part of a Yahoo group that he's a part of.
Oh, okay.
And so what I'm just going to do is I'm going to send out
which Yahoo group? Out Music or?
No.
Out Voice?
GCCMA. Gay Chubs and Chasers Music and Artists.
Oh, yeah, you told me about this. That's
so
one side I'm not on.
Yeah, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a thing out there, and like the subject line will be, do you want to get what Freddie Freeman got?
Ooh.
Then have everybody click on it, okay? It's Radio Airplay.
Ah.
Because I do find some people that way.
Yeah. You know, I would feel remiss, and I already do because we didn't talk about him in the very beginning of the show, but our very own David has not been here the last several weeks because he came down with some sort of stomach problem, and he's been to the doctor and had to run tests, and they just don't know what it is, but he hasn't been able to keep food down. He's lost 13 pounds, and we're very concerned.
Yeah, because last time he was here, he actually left. It was the first week you were gone. He left early.
Yeah, he's been sick since I've been gone.
Oh, he missed you that much.
Oh, I'm sure it wasn't that.
Strange, usually when you go to San Diego, you're the one who catches the bug.
I know.
Him.
I know. Isn't that weird? Yeah, so I haven't had a decent cup of coffee since.
That's for sure.
Oops. No, David.
David is our. You don't hear him on air much,
not,
but he's our receptionist.
Yes.
Basically.
And coffee maker, and he's the one who signs us all in, and he does, you know, he does behind the scenes, he does behind the scenes stuff, and I miss him.
Yeah, and hopefully he will get well soon and return to the abnormal state that we are here at After Hours.
Exactly. Now.
Sure as hell we ain't normal.
Now, let's go to the transgenders, and like I said earlier, this segment can go as long as they want because we don't have, the bisexuals aren't here tonight, so.
And I think they're going to be talking about unity. Microphone.
I hope the hell they are.
Yeah.
Yep. Yes. Yes. Pound on that microphone. We're live and on the air.
Hey, we don't answer that warning.
Yeah.
I was trying to tell you, but be careful pounding on mics. You know, that they don't like us pounding on mics around here.
Well, there was no other sound effects that went with that, so hopefully we won't get
jumped. Hopefully we'll still be over here. Welcome. Yeah, talk a little bit, because then I've got to break in after we do the theme. And
all right. Okay. Well, we are live from the Houston Transgender Unity Committee Unity Banquet, which is an annual event that is a fundraiser and a wonderful opportunity to get spiffied up and dress up and raise the money for transgender college students.
Oh, just to clarify, we're not at the banquet. We came from the banquet.
Well, I did say from, didn't I? Yeah.
Well, we just came from it.
Yes.
I don't know.
I thought I said that. But okay.
Anyway.
So, well, she's kind of new here, you know. She's been gone for quite some time.
Oh, yeah. I'm talking to this, like, pointy thing over here, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, this is the T-Talk Eminem Show, and we have with us our new co-host, Mike, who has been added to T-Talk, so it's the Eminem Show.
Eminem.
Yes, and...
Are we trying to get Campbell's to sponsor us now?
Good.
Yeah. We are M-cubed.
M-cubed.
Oh,
there
yes.
We go.
And, this is kind of the lighthearted version of the transgendered community, I would think. Wouldn't you agree with that, Mike?
As opposed to the heavy hearted?
The heavy hearted couldn't get here.
Yeah, they were too busy sulking, so.
It was just, you know, too hard. You know.
They just couldn't make it.
They couldn't even make it. They couldn't walk.
Yeah.
My hair is...
By the way, who are we?
We are.
Okay, yes. I'm Melissa.
I'm Mike.
I'm Melanie.
I'm Ellie, Melissa's girlfriend.
And we have with us a special guest.
I'm Amber.
And we are, like I said, coming from the Unity Banquet. Hi. And we are going to talk about that a little bit. We've got a lot of wonderful sponsors. This actually was the biggest and best year yet. I believe that there was a lot of things that happened. We had to add two tables. We had over 220 people who attended.
That's quite a bit.
We had the most sponsors that we have ever had that sponsored the Transgender Unity Committee.
Fantastic.
Banquet. So it was really, really amazing. And this was my first year. I just joined the transgender community. And it was, I have to say, from my personal experience, it was amazing. It was an amazing experience. And I had the opportunity to receive an award also, which we'll talk a little bit more about the award winners. But also, I received the scholarship. Every year, they award a $1,000 scholarship to transgendered identified students. And as you've heard previously, I'm in college now. And I was privileged enough to be selected for that. So,
I can say that you are very deserving of that. So,
oh, yeah, made a good choice.
Yeah. I'm very excited. Yes. Thank you.
Wow. Remarkable.
So you got more of that school learning to do now?
That's right. Well, I'm finding that the more that I learn, the angrier I get. Well, we won't talk about that on the lighthearted.
That's where I come in later.
Oh, you have anger?
No, I'm a marriage and family therapist. So after you go to school and get educated and get angry, I can help you later. But well, I can't, actually, because you're a friend of mine. So.
Well, I've heard that if you drink water, the Muslims say that if you drink water, there's a ritual involved with that to kind of staunch that anger and cleanse it.
I don't know. I just go for a ride on my motorcycle and I feel better.
Are you ready for the...
For the music?
Yeah. Well, no. Oh, we can do that here in a second.
Huh?
We can do that here in a second.
Okay. Well, I do have to step in and tell
everyone. Yes, that was good.
You're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
Wonderful. Oh, always a master at the station ID there.
Oh, the funny thing is when we have our after our break, the first show back at the beginning of the month there, when it came time to do the station ID, I hit the mic and I go...
totally blanked.
It took me about 10 seconds to reset my mind and go, okay, this is how I say it. It's like...
Well, you know, you don't use it, you lose it. So.
Yes.
But...
Ready?
Yes.
So, music now?
Yes.
Okay. Push this button then.
Was our lovely intro. I don't know if anyone remembers Monica. This is a shout out to her. She's over in Iraq, and hopefully she's listening, but she contributed a lovely song, and I just love it. I think it gets everything pumped up. And
yeah, that's a very energetic song to start out the show with.
Yeah. Well, we have the intro that Evie wrote as well, but I like that. So, back to the Uni Banquet, y'all. What did y'all think?
Well, I was curious about something.
Yes.
First of all, I was curious about what is a sponsor? What do the sponsors do?
Okay. Well, before we go into that, let's give the background information on the Unity Banquet. And pretty much, the Unity Banquet was started... by Peggy Rudd, and she was a member of the Tri-S, and also with Renee Finner, and they were both, I guess, leaders of two separate groups.
Well, actually, Peggy Rudd is the spouse of Melanie Rudd, who is a crossdresser that was in the Tri-S group. And Peggy actually wrote several books regarding cross-dressing. Probably the most famous one is called My Husband Wears My Clothes. But she's been a you know, very active
advocate.
Yeah, advocate, and has really helped to organize a lot of things. They have a also a thing called the Dignity Cruise that they do like once a year for it's like a transgender cruise. And so, you know, they've been active for quite a long time. But yeah, her and Renee Finner had started the banquet a long time ago because, you know, several years ago, there was not a lot of cohesiveness with the local transgender groups. There was a lot of infighting and siping, and, you know, you'd have the, like, the transsexual groups are looking down on the crossdresser groups, and they, you know, the crossdresser groups are snubbing the transsexuals, and there was a lot of, like, miscommunication and things like that, and they started the banquet to sort of get everybody in the same room and get them to meet and, you know, get to know each other and things like that and work out communication and such. And I think you actually have the official history there in your hand that
yeah,
will expound upon that.
It says that they started the group, and it was actually bringing two groups together. I think eventually there was other groups that were brought into it, but it was originally the Trias group and the Gulf Coast transgender community. And they were supposed to switch it back and forth. They started at Dante's Restaurant back in 1992, and eventually it grew into what it is today.
Which is a monumentous you know, event, basically.
Well, and what I've heard from everybody is that, like you said, there was a lot of infighting, and it's kind of the history of the Unity Committee, which brought members from each one of the transgender groups together to promote unity, just like it says, Houston Transgender Union Committee. And that was decided as to raise funds for a scholarship for transgender identity, transgender identifying youth who are trying to receive higher education, usually because there's a lot of, I don't know, what would you call it, discrimination? I think a lot of doors are closed in people's faces once they find out that that you are transgendered.
I remember when applying for law school, the rejection letters that came quickest were the ones I applied openly to. You know, but thankfully not all of them are like that.
Yes. So, ultimately, this was the 17th annual... the 16th annual Transgender Unity Banquet, and we had it at a new hotel, and it was really a really wonderful time. Thanks to the Sheraton Houston Brook Hollow, they actually went all out, bending over backwards. And interestingly enough, one of the managers who's in charge of that, him and his lover used to live in Indianapolis, and when I performed at Talbot Street as a female impersonator, they used to come to the shows.
Really?
So
it's like a reunion
from Talbot Street. Yeah.
Really?
Yes. Isn't that great? So
that's fantastic.
We caught up. It was like, wow. But
so he expected you to do a show tonight?
No, I don't think he expected me to do a show. But they did remember Melissa Stone. That was my drag name.
Wow.
So, just a little bit of history on that. But typically what happens is, from a sponsor's point of view, we start this planning all the way back in December. And we solicit sponsors to offset the cost of that. And we have all different levels, platinum, gold, silver, and then friends. And depending on who is willing to sponsor what, they give us the money or pledge money to help offset the cost of this really expensive banquet, because it is really, really, really nice. They had a ballroom, and they had centerpieces. I know the flower centerpieces were over $1,000.
Yeah, they're very good looking, too. They're
retail
really
value.
Impressive.
You know, we have people who were donating money for, or donating services or different things for a silent auction, which was new this year. And we raised quite a bit of money from that.
Well, from what I could tell tonight, the sponsors just, you know, took the floor.
Oh, yeah. There were so many sponsors this year.
Oh, and we had a lot of things from, like, groups that, like, one of the sponsors, for example, was IW Marks, which that really blew me away, because, like, I've never heard of them, you know, sponsoring the banquet before, and things like that, and they were one of the sponsors. They actually donated, like,
two Versace watches.
Yeah, that is amazing.
Yes. And that was to raise the money for the scholarship. And I know my goal and something working on the Unity Committee is not to just have one scholarship, but to have two scholarships. That's what I really want to work towards. You awake there, Mel?
Yeah, I am. I've got my liquid caffeine over here to...
Oh, I just wanted to add that I've been to quite a few banquets, like a few at the Houstonian, and this one... It was actually better than most of the Houstonian banquets I've been to. Yeah, so, and that's a pretty fancy place.
Well, the mistress of ceremonies, most of you would know her. She actually is one of the DJs on Queer Talk. And yeah. Jennifer Renee Poole, she is a fabulous, fabulous mistress of ceremonies. And there were several awards that were awarded tonight. And one of the awards was the Champion Award. That is Charles Armstrong. And that Charles Armstrong Investments.
Yeah, which he owns a lot of the bars in the neighborhood, I believe.
Yeah,
I don't
South
know.
You might. JR.
Yeah.
And Meteor.
Yeah.
Mining Company. And several straight clubs, even.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that award goes to the non-transgendered individual, company, group, or entity who stood up as a staunch supporter of the transgender community. Mm-hmm. And I know that around Christmas time, he has 12 days of Christmas, and he actually gave us $1,000 to the Unity Committee. And so they... decided to award him the Champion Award, and they had a group there to accept that award. Also, there was the People's Choice Award. This was voted on by the transgender community, and this is an individual chosen as an outstanding person in the local transgender community. And of course, we all know Phyllis Fry. She is the one who won that award, and she was looking very smashing in her lovely yellow dress. I thought that's really nice.
Yeah, she was very eloquent. I told her she brought all the sunshine to the banquet.
Yes. Yellow.
You old
color.
Smoothie, yeah.
And, well, Mike was looking very dashing himself.
Mike was fantastic.
And then we had the D. McKellar Award, and that is awarded to the local individual who steadfastly stood up as a staunch advocate for the values of the local transgender community. Of course, that I think was kind of hard, but that was awarded to Phyllis Tonkin, and she is one of the facilitators for the, is it TATS group?
Yeah, she is a facilitator for the TATS meetings.
She is awesome. I've just been to a couple of the TATS meetings, but she is always so supportive. She's great as far as guiding those meetings.
Yeah, a little background. Dee McKellar was a trans activist herself who did, like, you know, outstanding amount of work and everything. And she had, I believe it was, didn't she have a heart attack or something while she was out with Q Patrol, if I remember right? Chris might be able to...
Yeah, I was actually there the evening she passed. She had passed away as we were preparing to go out on patrol. She didn't let anybody... No one knew that she had a heart condition and spent the day moving and bicycling around and... had just moved into the Montrose and was looking forward to getting out in the community, and suffered a fatal heart attack on 11 years ago, I think it is.
Yes, it was...
It was the day of Princess Diana's funeral.
Yeah, that was just, like, I think right before I started getting active in the community.
Yeah.
So it was... I know it was quite a while back, but it was still pretty fresh in everybody's mind.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I was there that evening that she went down on that, and you know, very big part of the community, and was a frequent guest here on After Hours and also on Queer Voices, she was one of those that, one of the parts she did is she was one of the first people to give a talk on transgendered inclusion to the Houston Police Department.
Really?
She,
that's a real milestone there.
There was, from what I understand from the history, from what I remember from the history, is that she would go to the police academy during their training sessions, and she was the first one to, you know, talk to the police officers, you know, basically you address somebody by how they're presenting themselves, you know.
That just, so she was really an advocate.
She was a very strong advocate and was, you know, I mean, it was a large turnout at her service when she was laid to rest, and it was a big part of the community.
So thanks for that, for filling out the rest of that background, because I knew the gist of it, but I didn't have the details.
I mean,
on
I mean, it was one of those people. It's good to know in the history that that you met.
Well,
back
and
then.
I didn't even know that. So you know, that's great.
And I met Dee through GCTC nearly 20 years ago when she was in her early changes.
Oh,
to be yourself. Yeah.
Cool.
We used to go to dinner together.
Was she nice?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, most of the people that I've met here in the community are so amazing. And, you know, that's one of the things. For me, this being my first banquet, this is also bringing myself full circle as the first year that I've been here. And one of the things I have to say is I've met so many wonderful people here in this community. And my life has been so blessed by so many different people who have supported me, been my friends, given me the opportunity to help out, you know, and to make myself useful. And I was actually awarded the Horizon Award as someone who just joined the local community and who took an active role. But, you know, you have to have a community to be able to do that.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's one of the things. When they were reading off the description of that, before they actually made the announcement, I turned to the person next to me and I said, Melissa needs to win that. And because just since you've been here, I mean, here, look at this. You know, you've practically taken over as host because of my, series of unfortunate events with missing so many months here. But along with that, you've been serving on the Unity Committee, and what all else have you done? Because you've done a few other things beyond that.
I would like to talk about what this award was originally proposed.
Oh yeah, indeed.
And there's a gentleman that I didn't have the opportunity to meet, but I believe his name was Sandy.
Sandy,
I think that this was originally announced as the award. Mike, would you like to fill us in on that?
Yeah,
and then I'll talk about
Sandy. Daniel was a mentor of mine, and he was probably the most helpful person to me in early transition. And I had the privilege to do Lakota Sioux prayer ceremonies with him because I'm a pipe carrier, like twice a month for a good while, and got very, very close to him, and you know, very close to him in a real sensitive part of his life. So last year, this month actually, he died of a heart attack unexpectedly. And the last real major event in time that we had with Sandy was at the Unity Banquet. And it wasn't just a couple weeks after the banquet that he died. So one of our friends who was very, very, very active as a young transitioning trans man proposed that we have an award that honored Sandy for a newcomer that came and contributed, you know, significant things to the transgender community. So he was kind of the original inspiration for that award.
Thanks, Mike.
Well, and so I guess that was something that they were doing previously.
Actually, I think that's a new award this year. It was created. It's basically the same along the veins of like the Dee McKellar Award. This was, originally was going to be the Sandy O'Daniel Award, but I guess they changed the name of it or something.
somewhere along the lines or whatever. I'm not sure. I'm not on the Unity Committee, so I don't know what went into the decision-making process on that. But
well, I know for my part, jumping in feet first and getting my hands wet, my feet wet with all of the activities that I possibly could, I know that that's something that I wanted to do. And from what I hear, Sandy was very involved as well. So I know personally I'm on the Community Advisory Board, which is a group that works with HACS and is an extension of the Houston Area Community Services, which serves underserved communities, which the transgender community is an underserved community. And so we pretty much decide activities. We have the Training Queue, which is a barbecue annual event for Pride, and is also a kind of a group that decides the programming and activities. Like, we had a bunny hop. I don't know what it was called.
The bunny hop pirate
dance to raise money for the...
I wonder why Cab made me think of bunny rabbits, and I was going to say that, but I thought, oh my God, yes. I sound like I'm tripping. What am I saying? It's Alice in Wonderland.
A dance to raise
what?
Money, which it was awesome. And if you ever want to check out one of the meetings we have, it's on Monday nights at the Haven Center. It's on the corner of Woodhead and Alabama. So come on out. It's every Monday from 7 to 9. And if you want to get involved with the CAB, which I'm part of, and also the PR chair of that, it's every third Monday. But also I'm on the Unity Committee, and I've kind of jumped in, and I volunteered and helped to raise money for the scholarship at the Pride booth last year. I know I went all the way out in BFE to help build the Pride float and put that together. And so pretty much anything I could, I've tried to become involved with.
I think what amazes me about you, Melissa, is that absolutely everything that I've heard you say since you got here in, what, June of last year?
Yes.
Everything you've said that you wanted to do, you said it, and then you already did it. And it's more than most people I know have done in 5 years. So.
Yeah, and one thing it's like Melissa's mentioning is, you know, the first time I met her, she was also recovering from being in a fire, and she had that to get over, as well as all this other stuff that she's been doing, and that was not a small hurdle in itself. I know that took a lot out of you, so you really need to be applauded with everything you've done this year. It's just amazing.
Oh, I'm blushing. You guys can't see it, but I am.
Oh, yeah. Do we have a sound effect for blushing or something like that? I don't know.
I ain't doing no sound effects for nothing.
Woo, woo, woo.
Any sort of emotional thing like that, you're out of luck.
We don't even have, like, one of those clown horns we can honk or something like that?
No, the clowns are all outside.
Oh, yeah, well, that's true.
I just am so wonderfully proud to be a part of such a wonderful community, and would just really encourage anyone and everyone to get involved with such a wonderful community. So, also, they had the Brenda Thomas Award, and that was awarded to Miss Erica. And she has done a very wonderful campaign to promote transgendered HIV AIDS awareness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
she was on a billboard, I believe.
It was a billboard, and they had some print media on buses.
Mm-hmm.
And she pretty much put herself out there.
That was very courageous of her. I know she went into a lot of personal decision-making about doing that.
And, you know, anytime someone comes out, I think that for a lot of trans people, you know, the whole objective is to go stealth and to blend in, but to out yourself and put yourself out there and to let people know, I think that that is very courageous.
It's very courageous because, as Allie pointed out, you know, when you put yourself out there, if there is discrimination, you know, on a large public level, it can eliminate a lot of options right up front.
Yeah, it's on the other hand, however, you know, once you get in, you know, you generally are assured of not having any problems if you do put yourself out there, so that's kind of nice. I mean, you don't have to be in that constant fear of being tossed. Like, when I applied for schools, the school that accepted me, it's like I don't have to be in fear there because, well, everyone who matters already knows.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, we thank Miss Erica for putting herself out there, and I know that when I came out at work, it was kind of scary, but, you know, I think it's something that the more that we do, that the more visible we are, and it just promotes awareness and the realization that we're not just a really small group, but actually there's more of us out there than people realize.
I just recently came out at work and went through all the stuff through human resources, and
that
was intense.
And
successful, but intense. So it's a lot on the line.
Well, and too, you know, I think it's important. I didn't have a chance to talk about it before, but I think that that's just so important for Inda. And we're going to talk about it a little bit later about Izzy Lopez. And there's been wonderful news for us as far as her case. But, you know, transgendered job protection and gay job protection and gender variant job protection is very, very important. And, you know, especially for us being transgendered, there really is absolutely no protection whatsoever. So hopefully we can get that changed. Also, back to the banquet, the Lifetime Achievement Award, which I was very proud to see her get. One of my very, very good friends and guitar buddies, and just a fabulous, fabulous lady. I remember her from my very first HTGA meeting. She just lit up the room with her energy. That was Miss Lily Roddy. She's kind of a local celebrity, even though she will say she isn't.
But she can't go anywhere with her. Are you the famous Lily Roddy?
She's a famous, famous astrologer.
Yeah, well, she does a column for the Outsmart magazine, which they have, like, all over the neighborhood and everything. So.
And she was actually the inspiration for me, personally, to come out and come out of my job. So she's an amazing, amazing lady, and she got the Lifetime Achievement Award.
She is quite an activist, and she does most of her activism by really being out as a transgender person and her commitment to that.
All right, so that is a rundown of the awards, and we are going to listen to a little bit of music. I don't know if y'all remember.
But wait, can we discuss the Tranny Boys? They're so pretty.
We'll discuss the Tranny Boys after this. But speaking of Tranny Boys and kind of gender bending and boys, I don't know if y'all remember when Katie Lang did the whole magazine cover with Cindy Crawford, where she was dressed up and he in boy drag. I would say that was
kind of a suit.
A suit and a tie and shaving cream, and Cindy Crawford was leaning over her, and I remember that. It created a lot of controversy, and it was pretty interesting. But we have a song by Katie Lang. It's one of my favorite, so we're going to go to that right now. This is a song by Katie Lang.
Constant Craving.
All right. That was Katie and Lang, Constant Craving. And as my girlfriend was just speaking of before we went off the air, I guess she has a craving for tranny boys.
Okay, yeah. They're like, on one. They're my weakness.
Well, there was plenty of tranny boys at the Unity Banquet for...
Oh, my God. And they ranged from, like, handsome to gorgeous to pretty and to... to manly, and that was, well, they were all very manly, but that
would, you want to define the tranny boys for those who may not be familiar with the lingo, just in case.
Oh, tranny boys started as female and transitioned to male, and they just added, and they just pile on the awesome.
apparently it's making her weak tongued now.
it
took a... Well, she's got a headache. She's full of potatoes. she's been healed.
That's not a euphemism. She actually had fries earlier.
She got me into a dress and heels. I mean, come on.
Well, she was looking fabulous this evening as well.
Apparently.
She can get you out of the dress and heels later.
Now I'm blushing, Melanie.
I'm good at that. That's what you got me here for.
It's not hard for her to do it.
All right. Well, moving on.
Just wait until after.
Yes, after the show.
Before I have to kill the mics in
after
there.
After the keynote. Keynote speaker at the Unity Banquet. It was a wonderful pleasure of mine to pick her up, even though she missed her flight at 10:30.
Another one?
No. When she was coming in. Every year... We have a, I don't know, what is it called?
A keynote speaker.
A mixer. We have a keynote speaker as well, but a mixer reception.
Oh, it's the sponsor dinner the night before.
But I was able to pick her up at the airport. Her name is Jennifer Finney Boylan, and she is a professor, and she has written a bestseller. She was recently on the Oprah show, on Oprah. And Larry King Live, and her books that she has written, She's Not There, A Life in Two Genders, and her new book, I'm Looking Through You, Growing Up Haunted, a memoir, of which she was reading from during the banquet. And she was really kind of funny. I know when I picked her up, she was kind of tired. I was like, ooh. Although she did mention that she liked tequila, so that got her points in my book.
Mm. That might explain why she's a little tired. But
well, I don't know. But she was funny. And what? You're shaking your head, Mike.
I was trying to get tequila jokes.
Tequila?
One tequila, yeah. Two tequila, three tequila. I can't even say it now. Too tired. One tequila, two tequila, three
liquor.
Tequila, four, or something like that.
You liquor, you brought her. No.
Now we need tequila the wow. Horn honking, you know, the rim shot thing, whatever.
Anyway,
I was thinking of tequila sunrise.
Ooh. Well,
that's the morning after.
Yeah.
If you can wake up.
If you can wake up. Well, I would suggest, as a former bartender, that you only drink top shelf alcohol, and that you support the alcoholic beverage establishments with buying only top shelf, because you will be able to wake up in the morning and get your tequila sunrise.
And see the sunrise.
And see the sunrise. I don't know. As I get older, it's only top shelf for me, but anyway.
But I did enjoy... Jennifer's reading, she was very sincere and very authentic, and there was one part of her reading in the story she was really moved to really deep emotion, and it was really touching.
Yeah, she was very expressive.
Oh, she's a professor of creative writing at, I cannot remember the university, but...
Isn't it Columbia?
Is it Columbia University?
We really don't need to name them. They didn't donate any money.
Yeah. But anyway, well, I mean, she's certainly qualified for writing, and she's teaching it. But yeah, the essays, it sounded like it would be a very entertaining read of a book. Yeah, she had really had a way with the language and expressions and such.
And I really liked her concept of haunting, of all the aspects of cells that are haunting the transgender people, because right before I went through transition, that's what I felt like. I felt like my own ghost. And I felt as translucent as you could put your hand through me.
Well, and I think, too, because she touched on not just that part of it, but she said, it's something that really struck a chord with me, because I transitioned young, you know, the ghost of who you want to become. And I just, I identify so much with that, because when I was younger, I know that my life had been laid out before me, and there was all of these expectations, yet how I saw it, there was no way I was going to go down that path. I was going down a completely different path.
I think the concept on her part was really brilliant, and I think it would make a really great movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think
don't give her any ideas. She's got enough money. She was on Oprah.
But
I'm joking.
But you know, that was a really good. I mean, the concept, though, because one of the things they were talking about is people that like transition later in life, is that a lot of times they're haunted by the person that they used to be, and because you know they can't erase their history. As she said there, when you go in for your SRS operation, that's the one thing they can't give you is a new past, and so you always have that that history there, and. Whether, depending on, how things were. But, I mean, there's always that sort of ghost of your former life that, that haunts you, whether it's a bad thing or just all your memories and things like that. It's like you always have that with you. And just how you go through life depends on how you deal with all that.
I don't know. So I think it's hilarious to start conversations and come in company that I'm not entirely out with everyone. With when I was a little boy, it gets attention. It's fun to throw out.
Well, I usually envision myself as a little girl. I don't know.
I still envision you as a little girl half the time, but
yeah. I just haven't tried that one yet. Ellie, I just haven't tried that yet.
It wouldn't work for you, though, Mike, because when you say, when I was a little boy, then it would just be congruent with...
Oh, what if I said, well, when I was a little girl?
Well, you could do that, yes. Yeah.
In that exact tone of voice, yeah.
Yes.
That,
when I was a little girl.
Yeah, that'd turn a few heads
while
in the restaurant.
While I'm, stroking my beard. And,
yeah. Which, yes, I would like to make a comment. I love the facial hair.
Oh, thank
great.
You.
Great. He's been sitting here stroking his beard. Great.
Like some evil genius plotting destruction or something like that. Which is, ironic because I'm over here actually doing the, plotting of destruction. But
that's why they don't give us access plotting. To the buttons back here. That's why.
That's probably a good idea.
We'd have more sound effects than that if we did.
Also, like I said, before I was awarded the scholarship, and I think that this is a wonderful opportunity for anyone who wants to know about transgender issues or who wants to support our community. If you are interested, make sure you visit the Houston Transgender Unity Committee site, htuc.org. I know there will be pictures there of the banquet, as well as information regarding that, and we have it every year. So if you want to come, you're always welcome, and there's plenty of room.
I
want to make it bigger and better.
I feel really privileged because I've known all the scholarship recipients since I've been going to the Unity banquet. That is so cool to see people coming along in their learning and education and their visions of who they want to become and the things they want to do to help the community.
I know, like really awesome. Colt got it last year. Who was the year before? I don't recall.
You
weren't really around much then, I guess.
I wasn't.
I don't know. I know that they mentioned them somewhere, but I don't know. I know Colt. He's great.
Yeah.
And then next year, my personal goal mark it down. You've heard it here. Mike, you've said that I do
anything
everything
you
that I
say,
do. Next
you do,
year,
and it happens right away.
Oh, that was loud.
Whoa.
I'm sorry about that.
She yeah. is running for
she
president.
She threw a lightning bolt. You should have seen it. It was amazing.
Bum, bum, bum. No. Next year, we will be giving 2 scholarships. That is my mission, my goal that I am setting forth from this point on out. And so hopefully next year we will have at this time both of the scholarship winners next year here on the radio show so that they can talk about what they're planning on doing.
You could put that to a Shirley Temple song.
A Shirley Temple. What would the tune be? How would that go?
I've got a 2 scholarship something.
The 2... No, I don't know.
I think we're reaching here.
All I want for Christmas is my 2 scholarship funds.
Oh God!
Yeah, wah, you think you can get wah, it? You can get wah. It done by Christmas?
I don't know. So look out for us.
I know you can.
In the community, I definitely plan on being out there and being out and loud and trying to raise some money for that scholarship. And if you want to come next year, you're more than welcome to. This website is htuc.org, and of course I will be on here once a month, and I will start blabbing my mouth. And
yeah, well, you've got the loud part, you just work on the out part, and you're
that's right.
Right. And now we're like doing dead air, I guess. Right? Yes. as soon as we make that point that you're
you
loud.
You talk about training boys.
Training boys. Yeah, the constant craving is still going on for you, isn't it?
Constant craving is always there.
Not that you should feel threatened in any way.
Constant craving.
Oh, I do.
Really interesting to see the diversity of gender expression in the trans men. Don't you think so, Elisar?
Oh, yeah, I love it. It's just, they're all so different, and they just express themselves all differently. It's
yes.
Although there are a few stereotypes out there, but...
Right on. There are a few Neanderthals.
But that's adorable, too.
I like the way she turned around and stared at Mike for a second after she said... There's a few Neanderthals, and then shot Mike a look.
Mike does not seem like a debonair, gorgeous gentleman. Yeah.
He was rocking that bow tie tonight like I've never seen before.
G-man would aspire to be like him.
Well,
a G-man.
He was hot.
Thank you.
But he is taken, ladies and gentlemen out there, so don't call in and try and get his phone number. Although, we do have a young teacher who is looking for an Elton John lookalike. We still have to get George.
That's right.
I know, they're looking at me like, he's looking for a young Elton John. So, if you're a young Elton John,
if you have huge sunglasses boys, and a sequin suit,
if you might, like Janie Boys, not
yeah,
you,
yeah.
Then call in and we will hook you up. If you are wanting to talk to us or just give us your personal opinion, just let us know how much you love the show. You can call in 713-526-KPFT. We're going to move on. I wanted to talk a little bit about Issa Lopez and what is going on with her. Pretty much, there's been some advancement with her case, and I don't know if you all are familiar with summary judgment, but with her case, basically she was hired...
One second. Summary judgment is when a judge looks at a person's case and assumes basically the judge takes a look over the case and sees if there's any argument that can be made at all and makes a judgment call on the spot. If you are granted summary judgment in your favor, it means either you had a really good case or with something there or you didn't, and, well...
Okay, so her employer, she was wanting to be a scheduler with this particular company, and allegedly they knew of her transgender status, and she interviewed and was accepted, filled out all of her paperwork and stuff, and then later on, after she had put in her notice, she was told that they had to withdraw her offer, that or withdraw the offer to her that she had misrepresented herself as a female, even though she had put down her male name on all of her paperwork as well as her female name. Everybody knew that she was transgendered, and she had been very clear about that. And so she is taking it to court, and as Ellie has so graciously pointed out, of summary judgment, it has been decided to move the case forward.
The employer motioned for summary judgment and said she doesn't have a case because it's okay to discriminate against transgender, I think that's what they said. And the judge said, well, that doesn't disqualify her from a suit here.
So she is going to be going forward, and hopefully will be setting precedent for us to be able to be treated fairly in the employment arena.
Well, I just compliment her on her courage to pursue a suit, because I know I've been in situations where I felt I was wronged by an employer, and there's times I've decided not to, you know, take legal action. It takes a lot of courage to just do that.
Well, the fact that she survived summary judgment doesn't mean she's going to win. It just means that they're actually going to take a look at the facts in the case and hear arguments. So that's better than most people, I think.
Well, keep up the fight, girl. We thank you for it.
Yes, thank you.
That is awesome.
And to our lawyers, you're totally rocking.
That's right.
Yes, thank you.
And also, I wanted to remind everyone that for Pride, we are going to be having the first month. This is in the transgender community, but you don't necessarily have to be transgendered. The Tranny Q. That will be the first Saturday of the month of June. So if you're interested, make sure you go to transhouston.com and look that up under the events. And you're more than welcome to come. It's going to be awesome. And hopefully, we had an anonymous donor who gave us the funds to purchase the Transgender Community Center. And so hopefully the Transgender Community Center will be ready and we'll be able to have that at our new center.
I had no idea that was done by donation.
You didn't?
No, I didn't know that.
Yes. If you go to transhouston.com, you can actually see there's a video tour of the center, and it is just an amazing, amazing home, although they're still in works of trying to figure out how to do it. Apparently, since it's not going to be a home, there is different kind of requirements for that. So I talked to one of the young ladies who's involved with that, so we're in the process of getting that hammered out. But
how generous of the anonymous person.
And if you're out there listening, anonymous donor / donors, thank you so much. I was told that they felt that the transgender community got a short end of the stick kind of deal. And so they donated the money. And it is amazing. If you have the opportunity, the website is transhouston.com, TranshouSton.com. And just look at the video tour. It is amazing. And that's something that the community has never had here. So I think it's an amazing opportunity, and you'll be hearing more about that from us here. How are you doing in there? Doing
just
good?
Great.
Hi. Well, we are going to go to the second musical selection that we have. And Michael, would you like to tell us about this musical selection? Michael selected this music for us. And
this is an instrumental from an album called Arctic Ice. And this is a selection called Cloud Chill. And it's just a very chilling instrumental.
Cool.
And we're going to it right now.
What else we got on the agenda?
Thank you.
right. That was the Cloud Chill.
Ooh, chilly.
A cool song.
Cool song. I didn't hear you, Mike.
What?
Is your mic on? Oh, there you go. Projection.
Is Mike's mic on?
Mike's mic is on.
Mike. Echo.
Well, we had some interesting conversation while we were listening to the song, but first, I know that Mel wanted to give a shout out to her Road Dogs.
I wanted to give a shout out to my friends at Montrose Motorcycle Riding Club. They've got a ride in the morning, but I know a couple of them said that they'd be tuning in to the radio station to listen to my show, so I wanted to say hi. And one thing that that group is a definitely is a GLBT motorcycle riding club, and they are definitely trans inclusive. So if there's any trainees out there with ride motorcycles looking for a riding group, they're at montrosemrc.com. So you can check them out on the web. But so everybody have a safe ride tomorrow. And sorry, I'm going to miss it. I'll be moving, so but I'll make the next one anyway.
Yes, so I think that we're probably going to come back to this for the next show, because this is something that I think deserves a whole show. But we were talking about trans men and the difference between trans men and genetic men, or men that were genetically born men. And Amber, our guest here, is the wife of Michael. I think that that's... Yeah. So, and she was giving her experience, I guess. The comment was made by me that I would think that trans men would bring more to the table as far as relationships, and that they would be more well-rounded than genetic men. And I know I've never been in a relationship with a trans man, but just thinking logically, I've been in relationships with genetic men, and to me, someone has said something about Neanderthals, but that's kind of how I would describe the men.
And so, in terms of well-rounded, do you mean like corpulent?
Well-rounded meaning just more broad, more emotional, able to see things not just from a sexual point of view, which that is the most of the guys that I've known. They stare at my boobs and they're like, oh yeah, get me a beer, B word, get in the kitchen. You know, I mean,
and like, you never get mad at me for not noticing.
Okay. Darling, you do realize you're saying this while wearing a keyhole cut, right?
Well, okay. First, we're coming up on the station identification, so we're going to go to our lovely sound engineers.
And you're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude right here on good old listener-sponsored and supported KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 in Galveston, and always on the World Wide Web at dubcubed.kpft.org.
It's great to hear Jimmy's big faggy voice on the air.
Yes, I do have the biggest faggiest voice in Montrose.
After a month of being gone, we've missed you, honey.
6 weeks.
6 weeks. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's been 6 weeks, actually.
Jimmy,
wow.
Withdraw.
I know.
I've missed
you. I know.
I've missed you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes. Well, as my girlfriend pointed out, I am in a lovely... keyhole dress, and everybody's been
it's like, oh my god,
but I thought they were just looking at the fabulous pattern. I didn't think that they were.
Oh, it's got a pattern on it.
It's those fabulous breasts.
Oh my gosh, I'm blushing.
When they get and Jimmy is probably the gayest person I know, and I think his jaw hit the floor.
I know, because you know, I am so gay. A female friend of mine, has really, really large breasts, and she's older than me, actually, and so when she gets home from work, she likes to take off her bra,
uh-huh.
And so...
She bruises her knees?
Yes. I don't know the difference whether she's got her bra on or off, because that's not where I focus, and she's huge.
Uh-huh.
So for me to notice your breasts is an event.
Well, I don't know. I just thought everybody was noticing my fabulous pattern. But
and that's what I, that is what I usually look at. When I look at a woman, I look at face, hair, and outfit.
And so you notice my outfit second?
Yeah, well, face first, and then outfit.
Okay. Well, I was forced to wear this dress because I was told that Jimmy's reaction would be entertainment for me this evening.
And was it?
I don't know. You're entertaining to me all the time. Yeah. So, I'm waiting to see you in Cher drag. For Halloween, we're going to do you up as Cher.
Oh, the last time I was in a drag, I looked in the mirror, and do you know what I saw?
Your mom.
Loretta Lynn's mother.
Well, that is my second goal. Mike has said that I do anything that I achieve, so I want to put Jimmy in Cher drag.
Oh, my God.
So that's what I'm going to be working on this year.
We'll have to get picked down. Picks for the website.
You've all heard it, everyone listening. Back to the trans man thing. Would you like to share your insight into this, since you would just share with us?
Absolutely. My name is Amber. I am Michael's partner. I have been in relationship with Michael for 4 years now. Before that, I knew him for 2.5, so I've known him about 6.5 years. When I knew him before we were in relationship, he identified as female and lesbian. For the first 2.5 years of our relationship, we were an out lesbian couple, even though on our very first date, he identified to me as trans. He said, one day I may transition, one day I may do something about this. I'd like for you to run if you have a problem with that, because it's a really pressing issue in my life. And I really respected that, and I thought it was excellent. I've been quite all done with men for a while before that, and I had a lot of rage and a lot of anger and really a lot of fear of men, and I think that's true of a lot of women. Particularly the lesbian partners of trans men, and it scares them. It really scares us. What I've found through being with Michael is that a transgender man has a totally different set of experiences with health and emotions, and a very specific set of discriminations, a whole different social background in terms of how to be verbal and how to express emotions, or how to be soft, or how to care, or, for instance, how to respond to a woman sexually. Totally, totally different thing that you're dealing with. Of course, I haven't been with any other transgender men besides Michael, so...
But you know transgender men.
I know lots of transgender
socially.
Men. Absolutely.
And would you say that that's something that a lot of the guys do exhibit, not just your experience with your husband?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I wanted to say this also about Sandy O'Daniel, that when we entered the community, even though I knew that Michael was trans at the beginning of our relationship, I was really quite terrified at the beginning of his transition. I was scared that he would take testosterone and that the hormones would take over and he would become a raging sex Neanderthal maniac, and that I wouldn't be able to live with him, that he would, like, leave his stuff everywhere and demand that I wash his feet in the evenings, or, you know.
Now, that'd be like dating me.
So I met.
Be warned.
I met Sandy O'Daniel, and he was exceptionally sweet and exceptionally gentle and had exceptional respect. He was very old-fashioned, and he, whenever he would have very crass conversations with Michael, and when he knew that I was coming into the room, he would take this whole different "there are ladies present" kind of tone, and I felt really honored by that. And I learned to appreciate a lot of aspects of masculinity through Sandy before Michael began his transition, and that made it very easy and gentle for me. And I'm just really grateful to him for the gift that he gave to me and to us, really.
Cool. Well,
that was a showstopper.
What? Does anyone else have anything to share? Ellie?
Well, they're certainly a lot cleaner and mostly better snappier dresses than most guys I know.
My arm.
You know, and that, and, you know, here's the thing, though, that I really appreciate with about trendy guys is, you know, you can make jokes with them, you can play around, you can flirt, and it doesn't. And the thing is, whenever they do flirt back, it doesn't have that threatening air that a lot of guys do have. I mean, you know, it's not like exclusive to them, and I'm sure they could be threatening if they wanted to. Sorry, guys. but you know, they see if they recognize the distinction between friendliness and like sort of having and being overtly sexual. You know, they can straddle that line, and regular guys just don't. I mean.
Well, I could probably build on that. One of the things I was talking with one of my genetic male friends, and he said that, you know, he doesn't understand how any woman can have an actual like true friendship with a man, because, you know, at least a straight man anyway, because there's always, you know, no matter what they say, there's always that thought of, like, you know, you somehow, like, have them on the shelf just in case, like, you know, your current relationship goes sour or something like that. You know, there's always that chance there that, you know, they might be able to, you know, break a piece off or whatever. And so he said that, you know, there's always that sort of thing in the back of their mind. And, I mean, you know, I'm sure that probably doesn't go with every one of them, but I mean, there's always that kind of thing. It's like, you know, if you try to flirt, it's like, you know, they're like, well, you know, is there a chance that, you know, that this is more than just playing around or this or that? Where, you know, with a lot of the trans guys, like, yeah, George and I are, like, always, you know, flirt with each other and, you know, being outrageous and all that. But, you know, we know that there's a definite line there, and, you know, we understand where each other are coming from with the whole thing. And so it doesn't, you know, give that sort of extra pressure or, I don't know, sometimes there's like a sinister air to it or whatever.
There's a respect for boundaries.
Yeah, that's it. You know, it's like there's definitely a respect for the boundaries there, which I think with the genetic men, you know, they're brought up with that whole, you know, the conquering kind of thing, yeah, the entitlement and things like that, and they all have that, you know, sort of like idea of like, well, you know, I mean, even the, you know, like I've had friends that I've told, you know, well, like, you know, flat out, I'm a lesbian, and, you know, they still have that, yeah, the whole, you know, the whole, like, you know, the Chasing Amy thing or whatever, you know, they always have that in like the back of their mind, so, yeah, that's my piece.
You know,
on
Mel,
that.
I could change it.
And trans men are hot.
I agree.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
George, if you're listening, you are so hot.
You agree I can change her? you can change me into a trans man?
One of the first trans men I ever met was Jameson Green, and I thought...
He was there tonight, wasn't he? Mm-hmm.
My breath was shallow. You know, it was one of those, oh my God. Yeah.
See, you should have went to the bank when he was there.
Well, and also, another trans man that I've just become introduced to this last week is, I don't know if you have ever heard of him, Buck Angel.
Oh, yeah. George told me about Buck Angel. Yes, yeah, he's
a famous porn star.
Yeah.
Of Mangina fame. Someone actually wrote a tribute song to him called Mangina.
Whoa.
Yeah.
He is awesome.
Ellie has this look on her face like she's busting to say something.
Well, she was the one who actually introduced me to him, and I got to see the whole Howard Stern episode where he was on there.
Howard was such a
Can I say bastard?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Howard, it's not on this list over here, so go for it.
It's not one of the words.
Yeah, okay, Howard, this was like almost a year ago. You can find the clip online, and it's not safe for work, to say the least, but... You know,
well, is any Howard Stern really
no,
safe for work?
No,
I mean, it's like, come on now.
You know, just as a warning for people not familiar with Howard's, you know, artistry, but
artistry.
That's a stretch of the imagination.
Yeah. What he does is art. But Howard was just completely disrespectful at times of Buck. While Buck was this total. You know, for a porn star, he was the most innocent and understanding guy ever. I mean, it's just, you know, even when they threw him on the vibrator, it's just...
What?
Yeah, just look it up. It was very interesting. You know Howard, he's way over the top.
Oh, yes. More than After Hours.
This thing.
Oh, he makes After Hours look like the Sunday Bible reading or something.
Whoa.
Yes.
Whoa.
But I'm sure, like, we just lost half our listenership to look him up.
Yeah, they're probably on their list. Hopefully they just tabbed out if they're on the
Buck
internet.
Buck Angel / Howard Stern on
Buck
YouTube.
Angel. So what did Howard
It won't be on
have,
YouTube.
It's, what did Howard have Buck do?
There is, I guess, this really crazy... it's kind of a cross between one of those mechanical bulls and a dildo.
Uh-huh.
And I guess they have these...
Oh my God, I've seen that in a catalog once. I know what you're talking about.
These strippers, like, mount this thing, but they challenged Buck. They said, be a man.
Uh-huh.
And do you think you're man enough to take on this industrial strength vibrator dildo? And he...
Dude.
It was his challenge. He was man enough to take Howard Stern and this.
Now, I wonder if Howard got on it, too, and stepped up to the plate.
No, I doubt it.
I was like, okay. Oh. But, I mean, if you're familiar, like Ellie said, with Howard Stern and what he does, it really is typical
art. Yeah,
typical Howard Stern. So he's a shock jock. And
absolutely.
When I first saw him, I was like, oh my God. And now nothing surprises me with him. I mean, I'm just like, okay. So, and he was a little crazy. What was that?
I'm trying to, wrap my mind around a mechanical ball.
I will show
ball.
You.
I can draw you a diagram.
I have a guy friend that runs those for a living, but I was wondering that if T-Man did a better job at riding mechanical balls than G-Man.
Well, he was a trooper. So they turned it all the way up to 10, and he was like,
you could probably sand the wall
and the vibration.
My God!
Yes, so he was interesting to experience that, and wow, it opened my eyes to say the least.
Yeah, I've seen some stuff on. Yeah. They had a little thing about Buck Angel. It was kind of interesting because they
actually. Just on that one segment, they broke everyone's brain on that one, except for, like, one person. Everyone's like, I can't even handle this anymore.
Yeah. But I thought it was interesting. They were talking about... there was a little interview that they had with Buck Angel on something. I don't remember what it was. But one of the things... I think it might even be on his website. There's like a little question and answer thing or something. And somebody says, well, did you transition into a guy because, like, you were an ugly woman or whatever? And one of the things is, he was a model.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was like, you know, I think in magazines and everything.
Pictures.
And I seen one of the pictures, like, pre-transition, and like, he was hot. You know, it's like, you know, it was just amazing. And,
I don't know, I think he looks better as a guy. A lot better. Yeah.
Well, he's very, like, beefy, and I was shocked. But, wow. Wrap your brains around that. Mechanical bull dildo.
Yeah, I don't think you're
Mike is looking at me like he's still trying to wrap his brain around.
Yeah,
like,
my eyes are all
broken
out.
Another brain.
Okay. Well, another thing that I wanted to announce, and this is something that I had the privilege and honor of doing, and this is just one of the things that has been going on. HRC, and we all know about the endo. We talked about that actually one segment, I believe it was 2 months back. when HRC endorsed the Non-Inclusive ENDA Bill, or Employee Non-Discrimination Act. And when they were doing their fundraiser here, as well as when they do their fundraisers all across the country, the transgendered community is rising to the occasion and making sure that they let HRC know that they do not appreciate pretty much being stabbed in the back by HRC, and for them promoting a non-inclusive Employee Non-Discrimination Act. And I was one of about 12 people who was out in front of the hotel and who was able to protest that. So I don't know if you want to look that up on the internet. I just came across it. I was looking on the IFGE website, but I know that that's something that is going on. And just another thing that has happened in the community since we were last on air. Wow.
Yeah, I'll never forget the disinclusion, because my family of origin disincluded me from a major family event on the same week, and I wrote them a letter, you know, called, the title of the email was Family Disinclusion, and I said, I really do not appreciate this. I was protesting them and HRC.
Yeah, well, that was a big thing, you know, and still, the thing that kind of makes me mad, and this is, I mean it, I don't want to say, it just really fires me up, but they know that this bill isn't going to be passed. George Bush and the Bush administration has said that this bill will not be passed into law by them, yet they still decided to axe gender and gender expression out of the bill. And
I mean, like, really, when has, like, To the Republican crowd, when, or not just the Republican, I'm sorry, I'm a Republican, I should probably, to the bigot crowd, you know, since when has, you know, okay, gay, lesbian, bisexual, totally cool, so long as you throw out the transgender are just too much, just not enough, what, really?
Well, and to, you know, I read an article by Dale Carpenter in Outsmart, it really just,
who's always a,
fired up.
Dale's always been a staunch advocate for the trans community.
Well, you know, it made me so mad, I wanted to write a response, and I couldn't get it in by deadline. But then the second month, he again wrote a really, as far as I was concerned, bigoted article on his views of how things are. And pretty much his whole point of view was that we as a transgender community have not put in the time and the effort into the rights fight that the gay community has. Even though in San Francisco at Compton's cafeteria, transgendered people started the first riot there for gay rights on the West Coast, and not to mention
Sylvia Rivera, hello.
Yeah, and yeah, she was the first one at the Stonewall Inn that started it and said enough is enough. So not only do we have the West Coast and the transgendered starting just saying enough is enough, but also the East Coast as well. So if Dale, if you're listening, hopefully you can look that up on Wikipedia. Thanks.
From coast to coast.
Yeah.
Because the transgenders had balls when you didn't.
That's right. So do your homework. Anyway, that's enough about me. I'm just fired up about that.
Now you see why you should got the award. She just,
well, no, I mean, it just
on
really
fire.
Makes me mad. And, you know, to hear people say, not that one person or one group is less than the other. I think that we really need to stick together, because united we stand, divided we fall. And when we can't stay united as a group or together, when we're all getting discriminated against, then how are we going to ever push forward and get advancement as far as our rights? And one of us is not better than the other. We're
That's
only
right.
as strong as our weakest link.
And by Dale's standards, the bisexuals should be really way down there, because they are less politicized than any of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, well, I guess you have to make $100,000 a year and have a suit and tie and wear a suit and tie to work or whatever. I really don't know.
You have to be white and male.
That helps.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So,
And
okay, careful with the man hating.
We are man hating.
I'm not hating man. I'm just saying that that's part of his from what I've read in his article, that was, it's just, we weren't part of the group because we hadn't fought.
Years ago, a president of the Houston Gay and Lesbian Political Caucus, as it was called back then, made the statement that she didn't think that gay people, and she used that term to cover us all, could be Republicans. Period.
But it's so much fun.
Well, I've heard they have better booze and throw better parties. Although I'm not willing to do the investigative work.
No.
You know, no. From what I've seen, when we were lobbying the legislature, when they were trying to put SJR-7, which is the Marriage Defense Act in Indiana, in their House of Representatives, it was so funny. All the nice Republicans were sitting there talking to us, and we had actually filled the whole chambers during the hearing for this amendment to be made to the Constitution. And once they realized that I was one of them, we all took out pink triangles and pinned them to our shirts, and they were like, oh no, she's one of them. They scattered like cockroaches when they turned on the lights.
But that's why it's so much fun to be a Republican. If you do that in a Democrat thing, they'd say, oh, just sit down, we'll pass your non-discrimination thing someday.
Yeah, well, Barney Frank can kiss my ass.
Yes, amen.
Oh, he's kind of
old. I second that ass kissing. That's right.
I am so disappointed in him.
Bend over.
Yeah, I am so disappointed in him.
Actually, yeah. We could probably line up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There you go, Barney. We got 6 waiting for you.
Mm-hmm.
Barney, I screw you. Oh,
yeah. That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Wow, this has turned political really fast.
Yeah, we're breaking our own rule, but I guess sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it calls for that.
Yes, it does.
Just because, you know, one of these things, I mean, a while back, like last year or so, I don't remember the exact time frame, there was, you know, HRC had put out this kind of, like, lip service. They changed one of their, like, statements, you know, basically saying, oh, we're all for trans stuff now. And
I didn't believe them then.
I was the same way. Like, I was like, I do not trust them. Mm-mm. I do not believe it. I will, you know. I didn't go running out, and I knew a bunch of people that, like, you know, as soon as they made the little statement, they went out and, like, started slapping HRC stickers on their cars and all this stuff and talking about how wonderful. I'm like, you know, I will believe it when I see it. I mean, I can tell you whatever. I can tell you, you know, that I can fly, you know, and but, you know, until you see me do it, you know, it doesn't matter a hill of beans.
You know, those folks are always sending those damn stickers, those equal stickers. Well, and I remember one time, and this was when Sarah DePalma was doing this segment.
I ran into Sarah the other day, but I didn't have a chance to, like, stop and talk with her. She was leaving somewhere, like, as I was getting there, actually a restaurant over here. So if you're out there listening, Sarah, hi, I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to talk to you, but I went and sat down, and, like, I didn't notice until she had already left the restaurant, was getting in the car, and I was like, oh, there
Whoa.
She is. And
good. I'm glad she's still around.
Yeah, she's still around. Okay. She was there with her partner.
Because, you know, we fought that battle with HRC going back and forth, and finally I thought, okay, I've had it. And HRC, you know, if you're in the gay community, they send you these damn stickers all the time. So I had a few, and I cut one up, you know, the little equal things, and so I cut out the little stripes on one and put them kind of diagonally over the first
the non-equal sign
and put it on my car.
Yeah. Well, that's.
I think we all should do that because these.
Yeah, I used to have one on my car a while back. Mm. I don't have a car now, but yeah, that I had had that for like quite a while, made the unequal sign. Actually, I seen someone that had took the division sign, the dash with the dot above, and made it with the HRC colors.
Whoa.
And proposed that as their actual, you know, that's in spirit with their...
better. That's even better.
Yeah, because they are causing a great divide in the community.
They are. They are.
I mean, besides cutting out the trans, then you're... Yeah, as you had mentioned, the bisexuals, they're going to get, basically pushed to the side.
Are you just hating on me today? You've been hating on Republicans, bisexuals, me again. I mean, what are you going to go on to next, law students?
I don't think we're on bisexuals.
We don't have enough time. No,
it's a dilemma, and I've talked with the bi folks here, and they just cannot get enough people out of the closet to get politicized.
Yeah, because it's and this is more of a subject for their show. But you got a bunch of the people, like the down low people.
Yeah,
that they're bi, but they don't want anybody to know.
Exactly.
And everything.
Exactly.
So, I mean, there's a lot of that. I mean, you have a lot of that with the trans community. You have the people that are in the closet.
Still a lot of married bisexuals that are afraid that if they come out of the closet, they might lose their kids in the divorce or,
Congressmen in wrestling.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
There was a dinner the other night. It was after one of the meetings. We were over at a cafe eating. And it was funny. They were trying to make defined terms. Somebody says, well, what is it called when a man solicits sex from another man in public? And I just kind of heard this out of the corner of my consciousness, and I just turned around and went, a senator.
Well, he has been quoted as the police officers misrepresented his wide open crotch stance. So
why open that?
This is so old. Basically, go to Urban Dictionary, look up wide stance, and it's basically become the byword for homosexual.
I have played the bathroom tricks, years and years and years and years ago.
I know all of that.
Yeah, Well, I'm old, and so when I came out in rural New Jersey, there were no gay bars, there's nothing.
Jimmy, in fact, was the first gay man,
probably.
I
and you met other men in bathrooms.
Was it like
a lot of
Song
times.
Trilogy?
But not as much singing.
The back room. And well, that's what
But we didn't have bars. I mean, you had to meet people elsewhere, and bathrooms were it, and the toe tapping and all that. Oh yeah, that's how it's done.
Wow.
Guys aren't in there tapping their toes to a tune they're singing, especially when their foot gets closer and closer to the other one, and all that kind of stuff. He can't deny what he was doing, period.
Well, I know it definitely, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It just seems crazy to
the
me.
Whole thing's crazy. Yes.
And mostly these senators and congressmen are, pushing anti-homosexual legislation, which I think is...
Yeah, and that's why they should be outed completely.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, I think,
matter which side of the, if they were... I don't care if they're Republican or Democrat.
Yeah.
When you're voting against the gay community, and you are gay by whatever, you deserve to be outed.
Well, back to HRC... which has just really fired me up. I know when we were there, it was interesting because they had called the HPD and told them that we were planning on demonstrating, and they had the police officers on horses.
No, brother.
Like there was going to be some big tranny riot in the streets or something like that.
Metal barricades around the hotels and the security officers that were posted all around the hotel, and it was pretty interesting, kind of a low blow. I know that people who were with us, they had told us that we were going to be allowed to distribute materials within the hotel, and they kicked us out. So, boo HRC.
I agree.
You are not human rights anything. And I've given them money, so I feel like I deserve the right to complain. Anyway, we're going to be wrapping up. This has been Tea Talk. Thank you so much for listening. This is Melissa.
And Mike.
Melanie.
Ellie.
And Amber.
It's been a great night.
Yeah, this is the show now. Not just the M&M, this is So, thank you so much. We will see you next month, and we're going to be doing pledge drives, so make sure you get your checkbooks out, your pocketbooks, and call in and give us some money, because without you, we won't be here.
That's right.
Sack of gold coins. Or...
And thank
you. Thank you so much. Yes, we are going to be going to our outro. I believe it is Atomic.
It is.
the mother of America. He was my self-determined guru, myself. Well, I hold your big fat heart in my hand. Well, I hold your bleeding heart in my hand. A supernova, a flame on fire, shining in the dark. Pain. Who holds the mirror up to fools? And I'll murder the ingrates who stand in our way. And I'll swallow a ship laughing on my bed of hay. And I
turn on the mics. That was Anthony and the Johnsons. And I guess he played Divine.
That might be a good guess.
I'm under the category of...
You know, I gave up going to church a long time ago.
Didn't you give that up for Lent when you're Merlin?
Yeah.
I thought so.
Never really picked it back up afterwards.
Well, as the phrase I usually been saying here, a little bit there, whiskey, tango, foxtrot.
All right.
You
had, so,
I got it.
I will admit, I stole that from Penn and Teller's Bay Essay show. Mm-hmm. We can't say the name of the real show. It's time for a little bit of abbreviated...
Round table. What do we want to skewer today? Let's see. Anti-Vatican Yay Cardinal dead.
That's not true.
Scuffle breaks out in Nebraska over Day of Silence.
That was interesting. There was a lot of stories. I subscribed to a Yahoo group called Gay News, and there was a lot of stories coming out about the Day of Silence, which was on Thursday or Friday.
Let's see, it was...
I forget which day it was. It was Thursday or Friday. It was Friday, I believe. Was the National Day of Silence. Basically, for those of you who don't know, it's a day where students are encouraged to be silent, be quiet during the day, mm-hmm. to observe the silence of gay bullying that goes on in our schools. And it's more poignant this year with the murder of Lawrence King out in California. And so there was a lot more attention brought to this. And then, of course, the conservative Christians have their opposing day. They call it the National Day of Truth. Mm.
Yeah, well, you know, truth can be skewered just a little bit, you know?
Yeah. Apparently, I don't believe we do anything on their rally around the pole day. And yes, in our queer community, we have our own kind of rally around the pole day.
yeah, usually it's Pride Night at the Patio Airport. But
actually,
anyway.
Always. What are you talking about? But I mean, there was even an article about that in the Chronicle here in Houston, which I don't get the print edition. I read it online, and I think it even made the front page the way they were talking about that. That was back on the day it was about some of the controversy on that. But supposedly there was a fight that occurred on in Nebraska, was that?
Yeah, this was in Nebraska. This is in Lincoln, it looks like. So several adults holding posters who showed up at a park near a school in Lincoln, Nebraska to protest the Day of Silence were met by some kids from the school, one of whom who ran through the middle of one of the posters. This is according to the Journal Star in Lincoln. The incident took place during the school's Day of Silence, an annual event that took place in high schools across Lincoln Friday. Says that three or four adults carried anti-gay posters in a public park near the school, and more than a dozen students then began protesting the adults, and the school sent administration and security to ensure that nothing else happened. School didn't suspend anyone, but because it took place off campus, so.
Which is a nice thing to say, because usually something like that they would go right after them anyway.
Well, I mean, if they don't want to participate, they don't have they're not forced to.
No, no, it was parents who were protesting in a park across the street, holding up signs, protesting it, and 12 or a dozen or so of the students went out and went through the signs that the protesters were holding.
Yeah.
So the students were in support of the Day of Silence. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting, the thing I read with the articles is, some of the students, because you do have to participate in school, they understand that, but some students at a private school here in Houston were wearing badges that say, "Hello, I'm silent." Mm-hmm. And also, there was another move to get people to wear wear a pink shirt on that day for those who couldn't be silent. Mm. So apparently Jimmy participates every day of the week. The Peace Corps fired a man for HIV recently.
What?
The ACLU has sent a letter to the Peace Corps demanding it change its policy of barring people with HIV from serving as volunteers. Now, the really bad part about it is this guy didn't... This is how he found out. He went to work with the Peace Corps and was going to be serving in Ukraine. And as he was getting ready to go over there, they went through the normal medical test, and that's when he found out he was positive. Mm-hmm. And he started working in the Ukraine. When he was there, he did a mid-service medical exam and opted to take an HIV test, and that's when they found out he was positive. And Ukraine has an interesting little law that says that you can't work in the country if you have HIV. So
really,
yeah,
it's really discriminative.
Yeah.
Well, that's their prerogative.
I don't know if it's just someone who's a foreigner coming in, because you know, in the United States, you cannot even visit the United States if you're HIV positive.
It's actually a Ukrainian law here. It says that it bars people from HIV with working in in the country.
It sounds like it's a similar law that we have in the United States, where you know, people who come in for the gay games or come in for events like that have to get special permission to enter the United States as being positive. So, you know, the Ukraine may have a similar rule to that. So,
well, I would understand if they're working around like medical stuff and that they don't want to have it catched on by.
Well,
blood, but I mean,
part of it comes from the expense in caring for someone with HIV. That they're looking at it as you come into the country, with an infectious disease, mm-hmm. and you know,
have to pay for your medical and all that.
I'm looking at Merlin waiting for him to jump down my throat on this, but...
Go ahead, finish your thought, because, you know, my brain's, you know...
Your brain left us a while ago.
Oh, no, I'm still here.
But, no, I mean, I think it's part of...
I'm just sitting there going, you know, I realize that this country already spends, you know, a large fortune on medical care and all of that. But, and I realize, boy, do I realize what kind of disease HIV is. That having been said, you can't get it from breathing on people.
Nope.
I know. The only way you can get it is...
And the fight to... And you know, it would be really nice to be done with this fight and people to get a grip. I mean, it's not like people are coming here just to, you know, do the horizontal with somebody bareback, you know, by the billions. And don't get me started on the bareback thing. Don't get me started. But I really do think, I understand you don't want somebody with certain diseases, you know, if it were TB, if it were something...
Like smallpox?
Like, yeah.
Something that's contagious.
Let's face it, communicable and contagious are not necessarily... quite the same. And it's if I were in a room with somebody with chicken pox, despite the fact that I've had that, I could get something nasty like shingles. I get that. I'm not going to give anybody AIDS by sitting in this room, you know. And so I think the way some of these laws work are, like many laws, I think there's way too much blanket on how they deal with issues.
They only want, like, perfect.
Where's the rest of our crew, which I asked to come in here?
They're still out there on their MySpace and smoking their cigarettes and hanging out, I guess.
See, that's why I brought mine in here, you know.
But you, smart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm the smart cookie out of the bunch.
They're all lazy.
There's
out there.
Some more news in the same vein here too,
so to speak. Covered over the headline here. Scientists are considering giving up the search for an AIDS vaccine. A shocking new survey has uncovered that the international community of AIDS scientists are giving up hope on finding a vaccine for the virus. The growing pessimism of scientists comes after the disastrous failure of a trial vaccine.
Well, they've used stem cell research also to try to cure it with the cancers and stuff.
Well, this is the vaccine portion. You know, this is preventative, not,
mm-hmm.
not after the fact.
But this is also due in part to the fact that the trial vaccine failed miserably. And instead of trying and going back to the drawing board and doing more expensive research and development, they've decided to abandon it altogether, it sounds like, from what I can gather.
But it's okay for drug companies to charge exorbitant prices for the stuff that's keeping us alive now?
Well, I mean, that is one of the companies, Merck, has found out to work, and it says some cases increasing the likelihood of being infected with HIV, which makes sense because if you think you are immune to it. If you have the vaccine, you don't have to worry about it. You don't practice the safe sex. You don't worry about the precautions that you normally would. You know, that's why they said, you know, there's more pregnant girls who have taken the pledge of abstinence because, you know, when they finally decide they want to do it, there's not a condom handy. The survey was carried out by The Independent, a newspaper out of England. Now, surveyed 35 leading AIDS scientists from the Britain and the United States. Two-thirds believe that an HIV vaccine will not be developed within the next 10 years. And some of them said it may be at least 20 years of research before a vaccine can be used to protect people,
either from infection or the onset of AIDS.
And well, how many hundreds of years was it that chickenpox and polio and measles and all of those other what we now refer to as childhood diseases were killing people left, right, and center before somebody got around to figuring out how to make a vaccine for it?
Because they kept studying it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't buy that people just stop trying, especially when you're talking about a disease that has killed as many people as this has. And that could be. And while we're on that, any disease that has killed as many people as this has.
Yeah, I mean that's. Yeah, it's
sorry,
strange.
I agree with you.
No. Going off there, I'm sorry.
Now, and on the flip side, the European Commission just approved a new HIV drug, actually. This comes out of Pink News over across the pond in the UK here.
Pinknews.co.uk.
And it says that after Merck scrapped the whole HIV vaccine, Pfizer announced that European Commission approved its AIDS drug.
Celestria.
It's called Celestria. It's also known as Maraviroc. It's the first new class of oral HIV medicines in more than a decade, it says here. It's
it blocks the viral entry of the HIV virus into white blood cells.
So it'll be an available treatment experience to HIV patients in the EU in combination with other meds now. So
basically what it does is it blocks the virus from entering the blood cells by blocking its predominant entry route. So it means the virus has to go in through the back door.
You know, it's
no pun intended.
That's just not right.
Well, I got something really.
You know, there it is. It has been. I mean, we've. It's taken us what 20
something years.
In 27 years, we've come as far as we have. We have. I'll be the first one to say we have come an awful long way since AZT.
Yeah.
Was the only thing running. And that only and I have to say, in the grand global scheme of things, 27 years is a drop in the bucket. So the idea of just deciding to stop, you know, just drives me insane. I think you know, keep pushing until you've got something that works. I've seen an awful lot of stuff out there. I've seen a lot of pipe dreams come and go, too.
Yeah.
I mean, we've all seen, you know, all of us who have seen the, been through this now for however long, have seen a lot of good stuff, good ideas, you know, come to nothing. But that doesn't mean you stop trying.
No.
I think what the big problem of it is it's a lot of baby steps. Mm-hmm. And people are not expecting baby steps. They're expecting giant leaps. And, you know, when you fall short, there's that disappointment. You don't know what you're going to do with that part.
I certainly understand when there are still bodies piling up in any, you know, when there are still people dying in places like Africa, which is now,
the biggest.
You know. Yeah. Because it's black people, big whoop. That's the idea.
Yeah.
Eastern Europe too.
You know, it's like, this is like 25 years ago when it was. Oh look, it's just queers and drug addicts.
Mm-hmm. And now everybody's getting it.
And it's like.
Now a footnote to this, Merlin, is that. The drug was approved by the FDA in August of 2007, and it's now currently available here in stateside.
It's known as Celzentry,
right
here in the States.
Well, something funny is every time we find a cure for a disease or something, another one appears, something new.
Well, you know, that's pretty much the way the universe works. There'll always be something new to deal with.
Yeah, I was listening to one show. So there's eventually some point in time, you know,
We piss off Mother Earth enough. She's just going to shrug her shoulder at us and send us out.
And when she shrugs her shoulders...
Yeah. Ask the people in Illinois and Reno, but then again, it's because of us homosexuals and the abortionists and the feminists and the ACLU that causes the ground to tremble.
Yeah, Mother Nature has proven time and time again that one good shake and entire populations of towns go bye-bye in a matter of minutes.
That's from a year ago. See the date.
Mm-hmm. It's just.
Let's talk about everyone's favorite closet queen.
Clay Aiken was on the Billy Bush show not too long ago.
And he still refuses to say whether or not. Even though he did, perform the song Mary Do You Know on his Christmas album.
Oh, honey, Mary, Mary, honey, everybody knows.
Mary,
what are you talking
everybody
about?
Knows. Get a grip.
He's looking old now.
Just for the record, it's not like your career is that gonzo to start with.
He is on Broadway in Spamalot now, so...
He told us on the Billy
Bush.
That's
been a long list of people by now.
Yeah. He's one of them.
But, being questioned about your sexuality on the Billy Bush show is... I think for the most part, I really think that people don't care, honestly, Clay told Bush. I think that the press, people like that, care more about it than anyone else does.
We'd care about it a whole lot less if you'd just say it and get it over with.
Mm-hmm. But then everybody goes,
then it wouldn't be on the news every 5 minutes on some cheesy, showbiz thing.
Now, this is the funny thing, as he says, they don't want stuff like that pushed in their face. I don't think that it's necessary and that it's also not what I'm here for. I mean, I went on Idol to be a singer. I went on Idol to be an entertainer, and that's what my priority is.
It is not pushing it in their face to admit who you are.
He's got a new album and a new single coming out soon, so I guess we'll be hearing it on After Hours soon, huh, Chris?
Right. Hey, he qualifies for that radio with a twist because they're willing to play straight artists.
Right?
Oh, look, it's getting late.
Oh, yes, it's time to stick a fork in us. You've been listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. This is sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast. KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. We'll be back next week. The Hatchlings will be here. Hope you'll join us. Now it's time for your PSAs.
Explore a world of entertainment April 19th, 20th, April 27th, and 28th at the Houston International Festival. Spotlighting Out of Africa in downtown Houston. Make the Out of Africa Zone your first stop. Visit the Mountain Carved Church of Lalibela, one of the 8 wonders of the world. Also, check out the North American debut of the National Dance Theater of Ethiopia on the WAMU stage. And of course, don't miss the world stage featuring top artists like Buddy Guy, the Neville Brothers, Habib Kouete, the Wailers, and Taj Mahal. Visit ifest.org online for more information. Brought to you by KPFT 90.1 at Houston.
This is KPFT Houston.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.